Okay, good morning. This is Michael Novick, chair of the KPFK local station board. Today, excuse me, is July 18th. Sorry. It's a regular KPFK local station board meeting for the month of July, and our secretary, Jean Rohn, will call the roll.
Jean, thank you. Yeah. I've got Michael Adler requesting an excused absence. So we've got Alan Beek.
Alan Beek here.
Thank you. Fred Blair.
Present.
Thank you. Sandy Childs. Going to move on. Bella DeSoto.
Present.
Thank you. Jan Goodman. I'll move on. Eric C. Jacobson.
Here.
Thank you. Avelia Jones. Again, star six, if you're muted for any reason. Okay, then Ali Lexa. Moving on, Barbara Marbach. Michael Novick is present.
Present, yes.
James Osborne. I thought I heard him on the call, but moving on to Robert Payne. Moving on to Lydia Ponce.
Present.
Thank you. Lawrence Reyes.
Present.
Thank you. Rocio Rivas.
I am present.
Thank you. Paul Roberson.
Present.
Thank you. Janine Rohn is present. Mansoor Sabah. Moving on to Oscar Ulloa.
Yeah, you have to unmute yourself, Oscar.
That's a star six to unmute.
Yeah, I'm present. Sorry, my screen got locked off. All right, thank you.
Thank you, Paulina Vasilius.
Present.
Thank you, Beth Van Guten.
Present.
Thank you, Harvey Rosterman. We have a highlighted number ending in 2384. Was that, that's Beth Van Guten. Harvey Wasserman. Okay, moving on to Kiana Williams. I believe she requested an excused absence. So,
can you go back to Jim Osborne because he's showing on the screen and he's not muted, but I didn't hear his response.
Right. So I have absent is Sandy Childs, Jan Goodman, Avelia Jones, Ali Lexa, Barbara Marbach, James Osborne, Robert Payne. Oh, sorry.
Kiana's absent too. She sent the email a few minutes ago.
Oh, okay. Yeah. I have her as an excused absence or requesting one. James Osborne. I know that he was on the call. He spoke. But then I also have Robert Payne absent and Mansoor Sabah as absent and Harvey Wasserman. So we have 13 members present.
Okay, that is a quorum. I'd like to ask Lydia Ponce to do a land acknowledgement and discuss a comportment at the meeting.
Yes. Good morning, relatives. I'm going to speak with a heavy heart, but a hopeful heart. It's wonderful to be with you on this call. My heart is humbled and honored to do a land acknowledgement as those in the Los Angeles Basin are on unceded lands, indigenous people of Tongva, and to the north in the valley, Tataviam, northwest, Chumash, and south in the Orange County district or area. We recognize it as Hachiman, and further south, so many other relatives, all the way to that illusionary power of that border that divides. My heart is heavy because of the way that we are treating one another on this Earth Mother, and I'm asking that we respect one another's time and experience and life, breath that we draw, because no one is promised the next moment, let alone tomorrow. We have children that are being unearthed, first 215 Indigenous children on the residential school, which we're now referring to them as prisons, that they were murdered 200 years ago. The first 215 are being returned home. And Carlisle Residential Boarding School is unearthing children there. There are many children right now. There are a total of 1,665, over 1,665, and they're identifying their bodies and returning them to their homes, to their families, to their tribal communities. There are several returning to Rosebud, Pine Ridge, just to name a few of the reservations in South Dakota. You can't mention them all. That would be a whole nother call. But I want to draw attention to a beautiful ceremony that's happening here in California. And it's actually raining today. It's the fifth day and the last day. Tiana Vizcarra, Norm Sands put together a beautiful five-day ceremony. And it's culminating at Manzanar. Their children were also in prison. So it's a beautiful way to build community, and that's what, if the Japanese Americans can do it, so can the indigenous people. They've always honored the land that they're on in Manzanar. They always have their own celebrations of life and give thanks proper to the indigenous people. So I hope that we learn to walk this way with our meetings. And I'll close with this. We need to really start treating each other the way that we want to be treated, in that gentle, kind, compassionate way. When you witness unhoused people being taken away violently, it changes you. It changes you. And when a young girl gets pushed out of a car by her boyfriend, 22 years old, indigenous woman, in Topanga, it changes you. So I speak with a heavy heart, but I still have hope. And I hope that we can respect each other, because we have a lot of work to do. And we're here to save the station. We don't have to agree 100%, but we have to respect each other to finish one's thoughts, to finish one's ideas, and to not speak over one another. And my dog now wants a cookie because I'm on the phone. She has me well trained. Thank you. Aho, Matakbiasan.
Oh, I see your hand up, Lawrence. You want to go ahead?
Yes, I'm at the Manzanar location where the ceremony is being led by indigenous people and our Japanese brothers and sisters. Right now the Japanese drum is invocating the sacredness of this day, and so I just wanted to share that. And it is raining. It is a cool day, which, if anybody knows, it's usually hot in this county. And we are guests of the Paltu Shoshone people. And we are on their land. And I just want to thank them for allowing us to participate in the ceremony. And Lydia, thank you so much for your words. Oh.
Thank you, Lawrence, for representing us there, and very, very heavy, solemn occasion. I want to acknowledge the presence on the call of our Interim General Manager, Mo Thomas, and a number of other members have logged on since the role was taken. So
Mansoor's here.
Yeah, Mansoor is here.
Avelia.
Okay, thank you, Sandy. Avelia came on, and...
Yes. Barbara is here.
Yeah, Holly, Lexa, and Barbara.
Michael Heiss, I joined a little late. Apologies.
That's right.
Sorry, that was James Osborne. Am I correct?
Did you already do roll call?
Yes, we had already done the roll call. As soon as we got quorum, we went on the stream and did the roll call. So your presence is acknowledged. Your attendance will be noted. Thank you.
We also have Robert Payne. Am I correct?
Yes, Robert Payne is on. He said he will call in via telephone as required. I guess this computer connection does not have audio.
Do we have Jan Goodman?
I don't see her. There's someone on the phone. This label is calling user 2, but I don't know who that is.
Jonathan Markowitz.
Okay. Sorry. Please mute. Avelia, I think you're on two devices, so if you can mute them.
Use my computer for a change.
This meeting is being recorded.
Thank you.
Yeah, but I'm saying that it's causing a feedback and an echo, so please make sure that they're muted. Okay, the next item on the agenda is the approval of the draft agenda. I'll ask for a motion to approve it, and then we can amend it.
So moved, Bella.
Okay, thank you. Are there any amendments to the draft agenda?
Michael, this is Eric.
Yes, go ahead.
The current draft agenda allocates how much time for the articles of amendment, proposed articles amendment discussion and consideration and vote?
Right now it proposes 15 minutes of a member discussion and then 10 minutes of public comment. I believe there's a proposal to shift some of the time that's devoted to the Program Oversight Committee report that only deal with a couple of their motions and defer the third one. So we could take 10 or 15 minutes from that proposal 25 and apply it to the Articles of Incorporation discussion. If that's what would be the,
what would be the grand total then for the articles under the new proposal?
It would be 25 minutes plus 10. We could add some additional time. I'm trying to keep the call under the meeting under 3 hours. That would still allow some additional time if needed for that besides the 35.
This is Beth. I would like to propose extending at least 15 minutes beyond that.
Okay, so that would be
important.
Chair Lawrence is nice to second.
Okay, we heard you, Lawrence. Thank you. So that would be basically 40 minutes for discussion plus 10 minutes of listener comment related to the Articles of Incorporation and only 15 minutes for the Program Oversight Committee.
We can defer, but I had understood you to say there were 35 minutes plus 10 of discussion, and that would make 45, and I'm proposing 15 beyond that to make a full hour.
Bella,
second.
Okay, hang on a second. There was 15 minutes originally scheduled. We were going to move 10 over from the Program Oversight Committee. That's 25 plus 10 for the public comment. So that's 45. If we had 15, that makes the whole thing an hour, but it's not all in the, it includes 10 minutes of listener comment.
But it's most likely most of that listener comment will be directed to this item, hopefully.
Yes.
They're free to say what they would like, but
yeah.
This is a crucial item, and I think we need to do it justice. This is our one
yes.
shot.
All right, thank you.
Thank you.
So that's the amendment. Is there any objection to that? I heard you, Bella, that you want to be on stack.
Yes.
Go ahead.
Okay, I want to hear the final allotment of time, because if we make this item an hour, we are not going to sustain the 3 hours. So what is the final time allotted to this item, please? Minus the 10 minutes for public comment.
I believe it's 45 minutes plus 10 minutes of public comment.
Okay.
We'll keep it under 3 hours. Are there any objections to that? I see calling user two. Is that a member of the LSB?
No, this is Jonathan.
Okay, yeah, please lower your hand. There'll be public comment later on. Thank you.
This is Beth again.
Go ahead, Beth.
I've tried to make it clear a couple of times that I so. Let me try once more. I move that we add sufficient time to bring the total to at least 1 hour, whatever the other all totals up to.
Okay. All right. So that would be 50 minutes for the discussion plus 10 minutes of public comment. Is there any objection to that?
Yes.
Will Bella object?
We're going to waste more time discussing this than we will in actual debate or discussion of the item. Please reconsider.
I'd like to, Mr. Chairman, I'd like to propose what could be a friendly amendment.
Go ahead.
If we move the enabling motion to now, then people like myself who asked for an excused absence will know that even if we miss the debate in full, that we'll be able to vote by email. If we can't do that, then I'm going to have to maintain my objection. I asked for an excused absence. It was granted, but I think there's at least one crucial matter here that I have to be present for, at least be allowed to vote for, and I'm not sure about the Masters thing, which I haven't answered yet.
Okay, so I'll take that as an amendment to shift the order of the agenda so that we take up what is currently item 10. Earlier.
I'll second that.
We have the GM here. That's normally item two. Mo, are you okay?
Bella, object. Bella, object.
Okay, I'm sorry, Bella. We hear your objection, but let's try to do this as expeditiously as possible.
Mo should be allowed to go first before we take on that item.
Okay, so let's interpret the proposal as item one is what we're dealing with now, which is approval. It's 1C is approval of the proposed agenda. We still have to approve the absence requests, Pacific Commission. We'll take the GM report and discussion, and then Roman numeral four would become the Articles of Incorporation Amendment discussion. Is the body okay with that? And we'll devote an hour to it. Okay, hearing no objections, can we approve the agenda without objection and as amended?
So moved, Bella.
Okay, all right, thank you.
Point of clarification, Mr. Chairman.
Yeah.
What, I don't know, Roman numeral 8, which calls for sub A and sub C, can you please explain what those motions are about briefly?
The sub A, we did send around a revised draft agenda that has the items, but A is a motion to propose that the station resume getting ratings for the radio, and C, I think, is has been removed from the agenda as part of the previous assignment of time to the Articles of Incorporation discussion.
Do you mean the
absence
rating?
Yeah, or it's RRC. I forget what it stands for at the moment, but we'll get to it, please. Let's move on. The next item on the agenda is consider the excused absence request. I heard two, one from Michael Adler and one from Deanna Williams, since Mr. Osborne did request one but is now present. Is there a motion to approve? Excuse absence
so
requests.
Second.
Bella objects. Anyone else?
Okay.
Only Michael Adler. I will excuse Michael Adler.
Okay, we'll vote. All right, fine. We'll vote separately.
Thank you.
Is any objections to Michael Adler? Hearing that his absence is approved. Any objections to Keanu Williams?
Bella objects.
Oscar, you object.
Information, Lawrence.
What is your question, Lawrence?
I keep putting my hand up. I'm just wondering if it's visible.
Yes, it is. Sorry. I was looking at the agenda. I didn't see it. I have nothing to say.
I just want to
find out. Objects as well.
Okay, as I heard two objections, we'll vote on that then, please. Can you call the roll on?
Oscar, do you object? See, in case you didn't hear me.
Okay, thank you. Yes, thank you. There were several objections. We'll vote on the excused absence. Can you call the roll quickly, Janine?
Ellen Meek.
This is on excusing the absence for Kiana Williams.
May I be recognized for a few seconds? She's working at the station right now.
Okay. I'm sorry. In her request for excused absence, she said she was visiting relatives. Thank you. Please proceed.
Okay. I don't hear anything from Alan Beek.
Star 6.
Alan Beek is here. What is there to say?
We're voting on whether to excuse the absence of Kiana Williams, who requested an excused absence because she was visiting relatives.
I vote yes.
Thank you.
Thank you. Fred Blair.
Fred Blair abstains.
Thank you. Sandy Childs.
Yes.
Thank you. Bella DeSoto.
No.
Thank you. Jan Goodman is not here.
Jan Goodman is here. Jan Goodman votes yes. I was in the waiting room stuck for a very long time. I finally just called in.
Okay, thank you. Eric C. Jacobson.
Pass.
Thank you. Avelia Jones.
Yes.
Thank you. Ali Lexa.
Yes, absolutely.
Thank you, Barbara Marbach.
Yes.
Thank you, Michael Novick. Oh, sorry. James Osborne.
Yes.
Thank you, Robert Payne.
You'll need to call in if you wish to vote.
James in the chat says yes.
Can we hear the voice?
We've already been through this.
Mr. Osborne, please don't call out without order. Same for Bella. Right. Mr. Osborne needs to be heard. That's part of the motion about our telephonic communications. He said he could call in if he needs to, and he should. Please continue quickly with the rest of the roll call.
Lydia Ponce.
Yes, all absences excused.
Thank you, Lawrence Reyes.
I had to mute Lawrence because of noise coming over his line. He needs to unmute. Just continue.
Thank you, Rocio Rivas.
Yes.
Thank you, Lawrence. Paul Overson.
I'm unmuted.
Go ahead.
I abstain.
Yeah. Okay, thank you. Paul Roberson, are you still on the call?
Roberson wrote in the chat, I approve.
I never left, and I vote, that's fine. I approve
okay,
you.
That's a yes. I'm voting no, and I think I have the privilege of seeing that she's been absent since April.
And no explanation, please. It's just a vote.
Okay,
yes,
excuse me.
No.
Don't.
Well, Michael.
Mansoor
Sabah. Please continue.
Yes.
Thank you. Oscar Ulloa.
No.
Thank you. Paulina Vasiliev.
I abstain.
Thank you, Beth Van Guten.
No.
Thank you. I can go back to some of the missing. James Osborne, or no, Robert Payne. Is he available to give a voice vote?
Payne voted in the chat. He voted in the chat, and he was at the meeting.
Beth with a point of order.
Go ahead, Beth.
Anyone trying to participate in a meeting without being audible jeopardizes the legality of the entire meeting, not just their participation, but the entire meeting.
Thank you. The policy we adopted does require people to be audible to all other members. Mr. Payne indicated he could call in if he had to. I don't want to waste any more time on this call. What's the vote at this point?
I haven't voted, Mike.
All right, Eric. Go back. Eric passed. Go back.
Okay, Eric C. Jacobson.
No, because of the conflicting explanations. Thank you.
This is Theo. I'd like to change my vote to no as well.
Jesus. Chair, this is Lawrence. I'd like to change my vote as well to a no.
Wow.
Chair, this is Paulina. I will do the same. I'm going to change my vote to no. Thank you.
Gang mentality.
Okay, do we have a tally up to this point?
In order, no, go ahead.
Excuse me, everyone, please stop calling names. Stop calling out.
Not everybody.
Otherwise, excuse me, I'm sorry. I will ask
Mr. Chair, I'm sorry. Paul Robertson, I'm also going to change my vote to no as well. Thank you.
All right. I don't want to spend any more time on this than we have to. I will ask Janine to mute everyone because there have been too many outbursts and too many people talking out of turn. Janine, please just tell us what the tally is.
You are muted.
Janine, can you tell us what the tally is up to this point?
I'm sorry. I have 7 no's. And 10 yeses. And
okay, we're going to move on.
The
absence is excused, and we're moving on, please.
I would like a reading of what the votes were because my tally was different. I'm sorry.
Robert Payne is voting to approve all absences.
Okay, thank you. I'm sorry. Thank you, Robert. Thank you for calling in. Beth, I don't want to waste any more time on this. It's a majority in favor of approving the absence. Let's please move on to other business.
I don't think we have an accurate count. This has been an issue for months and months and months. Some of us are taking a stand.
Okay, thank you. Please reread the count.
I have Alan Beek as a yes, Fred Blair as an abstain, Sandy Childs as a yes, Bella DeSoto as a no, Jan Goodman as a yes, Eric C. Jacobson was a pass and now he's a no, Avelia Jones is a no, Ali Lexa is a
That's
yes.
That's incorrect, Avelia Jones is a yes.
Okay. Thank you. Ali Lexa is a yes. Barbara Marbach is a yes. James Osborne is a yes. Lydia Ponce, I have as a yes.
Mm-hmm.
Lawrence Reyes as a no. Rocio Rivas as a no. Paul Roberson is a no. Janine Roan is a no. Mansoor Sabah is a yes. Oscar is a no. Paulina is a no. Beth is a no.
Thank you. Moving on. Is there a volunteer to read the Pacifica mission statement who has not read it previously?
I volunteer.
Thank you, Paul. Go ahead.
One second. The Pacifica Foundation mission statement: to establish a foundation organized and operated exclusively for educational purposes, no part of the net earnings of which inures the benefit of any member of the foundation. To establish and operate for educational purposes in such manner that facilitates involved shall be as nearly self-sustaining as possible, one or more radio broadcasting stations licensed by the FCC and subject in their operation to the regulatory actions of the Commission under the Communications Act of 1934 as amended. In radio broadcasting operations to encourage and provide outlets for the creative skills and energies of the community, to conduct classes and workshops in the writing and producing of drama, to establish awards and scholarships for creative writing, to offer performance facilities to amateur instrumentalists, choral groups, orchestral groups, and music students, and to provide and aid other creative activities which will serve the cultural welfare of the community. In radio broadcasting operations, to engage in any activity that shall contribute to a lasting understanding between nations and between the individuals of all nations, races, creeds, and colors, to gather and disseminate information on the causes of conflict between any and all such groups and through any and all means compatible with the purposes of this corporation, to promote the study of political and economic problems and of the causes of religious, philosophical, and racial antagonisms. In radio broadcasting operations, to promote the full distribution of public information, to obtain access to sources of news not commonly brought together in the same medium, and to employ such varied sources in the public presentation of accurate, objective, comprehensive news on all matters vitally affecting the community.
Thank you, Paul. The other thing we do at the start of our meetings also is we have a policy of appealing for funds for KPFK. KPFK is in need of your financial support. We will be already in a kind of a quiet fund drive, and we'll be having a full-on fund drive beginning, I believe, on July 20th, which you'll hear more about from the interim general manager. I do want to share with people that we are putting together a collective matching fund from the KPFK local station board to use during that fund drive to encourage listener donations. It's upwards of $800, and I hope to hear back from further members so that we can have a $1,000 matching fund to make available to the station during the fund drive. You can always go to kpfk.org and click on the donate button, and don't have to wait for the fund drive to donate. We also encourage people definitely to become sustainers so the station has a steady, predictable cash flow. After action report on prior motions will basically be coming up in the regular agenda because there are a couple of motions referred to. And I will let people know that the bylaws amendment has been considered defeated. It had to get a majority of both listeners and staff, and did not achieve a majority of the staff voting in favor of it. So I'm going to call on our interim general manager, Mo Thomas. Welcome, and ask Mo to spend some time giving a report. We'll take a little bit of member discussion. Then we have 10 minutes of public comment immediately after that. You're not restricted to the GM report, but we certainly invite you to respond to the GM. Thank you. Mo, go ahead.
And Michael, how much time do I have allocated?
There's 20 minutes for your report and the discussion with the LSB. So, you know, you can keep about half that. Thank you.
All right. Thank you. And good morning. It is afternoon here in Delaware. I'm glad to be with you. This may well be my last visit with you, as you now have a new general manager. And I think that's a great thing that we have someone who looks to be eminently qualified for the job and is prepared to step up. I would hope that you would give them the same or more support to him as you have given to me over the last few months. It's been my pleasure and honor to serve you all this time. And I hope that in at least some small way, I've been able to make a positive difference in the way that we first listen to one another, and then in the way that we try to move forward together, try to accomplish things together. I have to say, and it needs to be pointed out, your staff is fabulous. Your staff that comes in every day, that puts in probably more hours than they actually bill to support the station and make sure the work of the station continues. I don't know that if it's been said before, but I want to make sure that I acknowledge that in my time. The staff, is each and every one of them, have been very fabulous to me, and very unselfish in their time and effort to sustain the station. And I think that needs to be said for the record. and would hope that commendations would be outstanding to each one of them. As you may know, we accomplished a volunteer labor project on the parking lot to put up standards and chains that make it clear that our parking lot is no trespassing, no unauthorized parking, and no through traffic. It was very early on when I came to the station that I heard complaints and reports about various nefarious activities in the parking lot. And I saw personally that people were speeding through the parking lot, that they were dropping litter in the parking lot, that we had all sorts of assorted characters in the parking lot. And our staff, programmers, volunteers, visitors did not feel secure when they came to visit the station. And that was something that I thought was intolerable. The safety and security of our people, the people who come to our building, should be paramount, and I made that a priority. So me, JB, Mansoor, Stewart, Terry, got together and made it happen. Rodrigo and his labor force led, but we had other volunteers come in. And again, I want to thank those who made it possible. And if at all possible, Lydia has directed, and I agree, we're going to contribute funds directly to the station. And if you want to tag them as specifically for the parking lot project, please do so. I think the total was around $525 thereabouts. The labor was gratis. And I think we owe it to get them paid back, get Rodrigo paid back as soon as possible. So just if you would make a note of that, that is an outstanding issue.
You are unmuted.
I want to encourage everybody to contribute. But if there should be a shortfall for any reason, a shortfall, it was my project to authorize, to put forth, and I take personal responsibility for it. So if there is a shortfall, I will personally make up for it.
I have given $50. So.
Pardon me?
I have given $50 to them.
Yes, I understand. So I know some have already contributed, but I just want to make that clear. There will be no shortfall. The project will be paid for and it will be met. Moving on, I have tried to meet with the outreach committee, with the programming committees, with the various committees. Not each and every time they've met. I'm sorry, my schedule just did not permit that. But I did try to make myself available to all the committees and to, most importantly, listen carefully to what they had to say. And I hope I've been a good listener. I've taken those inputs, turned them around in my discussions on the program grid. We have not made any firm decisions about long-term program grid changes. I'm sure the new general manager will have ideas about that and will want to put his own stamp on it. But we have come up with an interim temporary grid for the pledge drive to try to limit the number of repeated programs, particularly the number of old programs that run, and to limit the unscheduled interruptions on the air. I think you'll find it pleasing. And a couple of things that I ask for to be incorporated are more call-in shows. Let's hear more from our audience. I think fears about the same folks will be calling in all the time are probably well-founded at the moment. But as we go along, I think you're going to see more and more widespread audience participation. So I would encourage you to continue call-in programs. As this COVID issue abates, and I trust it abates by the end of the year, I would also encourage you to have more and more community outreach by physical means. That means where we can get outdoors, where we can have town hall meetings, where we can have public performances that we carry on the air. I would encourage you to do that. I think that's an important sign to give to the public that we're serious about community outreach and we're serious about listening to what they have to say and getting it on the air. It's certainly part of our mission to do so, and I would encourage you at the very earliest opportunity to do that. So the program grid, it looks good. The finances look not so good. You may or may not have heard, but our last payroll fell short by about $12,500. I'm disturbed by that number. However, I'm told that it's much better than it has been in the past. Barry asked for, I think, a $17,000 advance from the foundation, from National, and we're going to try our best to repay that, and I'm sure we will. I'm also sure that this next program pledge drive will be much more productive, and we should be able to get closer to our goal. With regard to the union negotiations and layoffs, I can't say much. It's obviously a personnel matter. I am advocating very hard for no further budget cuts with personnel, no further cuts or layoffs. I think that they're counterproductive. I don't believe you can cut your way to progress. I believe it's necessary for us to tighten up expenses in other areas, but we really, really need to look at our people as a valuable resource that keeps our station healthy and alive. So I would just pass on that bit of wisdom to you. I think I've covered most everything, and I really have sincerely listened to all the voices. I know there are a lot of arguments. I know there are a lot of agendas and issues on everybody's mind. I think it's important for the general manager to have an open ear and an open mind and think critically, even where I may disagree. It's not that important for me to disagree. It's more important for me to listen. And so with that, I thank you, Mr. Chair. I thank you all for the time and what shall I say, commitment you've given to me over these few months to be your interim general manager. Thank you.
Thanks. So we are running a little behind the timetable on our agenda, and so I ask members to speak up. I see Paulina has a comment, and if you want to get to stack, please so indicate by raising your hand. Paulina, go ahead. I see Bella.
Thank you, Michael. Thank you, Mo, for the report.
The host will be informed that you would like to speak.
Recognizing correctly the work of staff and volunteers. I have a question about the previous fund drive, because I assume that when you plan this upcoming fund drive, I'm sure you're basing your decisions on what went well and not so well at the previous one. Question specifically about the soft launch of the fund drive last time. Were you able to do any kind of data analysis to see what's the contribution of a soft launch or of, you know, regular pitches during regular programming without actually converting a show into a fund drive heavy show? Is there anything that we can look at specifically as far as the money that comes in when we do that?
Okay. As you know, Paulina, it's really all about the cash flow. It's really all about shoring up the income and reducing the expenses that we have. So yes, we've taken a very serious look at that. It's very hard to do. I know we can, for example, we can cut in telecom, we can cut in direct office expenses, reproduction expenses, and that sort of thing. I personally, as you know, have tried to keep my expenses to a minimum, and that you have not been paying me a salary. I don't know if anybody knew that. That the only thing that the station pays is for my immediate and direct expenses, which are very well documented. But as far as analyzing the shows are concerned, it was pointed out to me that you couldn't just look at the dollar value for shows that the shows bring in. That's just not fair, because some shows only have a little bit of time. Other shows have strip opportunities 5 days a week. Other shows have much, much more clock time in order to raise funds. So you have to normalize those numbers by the number of hours folks have been on the air. And even by that measure, you know, Roy of Hollywood and Ian Masters are at the top. And that there are other shows way down at the bottom. But if you go to normalizer numbers, things begin to change, particularly in the middle and at the bottom. We had, for example, we had shows that did not pitch during the fund drive. They were excused. And so they're, whatever they were able to raise, that shouldn't be counted against them. So, yes, we have looked at that. And insofar as the fundraising period is concerned, beginning this Tuesday, the 20th, we did look at the shows that were weak earners or low earners, and we tried to plug them in with some specials. Maggie has come up with some great ideas. I came in with some ideas from Washington and from other places on the schedule, and we think that they're going to be successful. They're going to be well received. Whether they have continuity after the fund drive is not up to me. It's up to your next general manager, and very soon thereafter, I would hope, your next program director.
Thanks. We have a couple more hands up. Bella DeSoto, Fred Blair, and then myself. And then we might be out of time for this. We'll take a public comment after that. Bella, go ahead. You have to unmute yourself. All right, Fred, go ahead.
This is Bella.
Bella. Quickly, go ahead.
Thank you. I understand. Thank you, Mo. I was muted. I understand that. I thank you for shepherding us in this hard time. Very much appreciated the fact that you did not receive a salary. That's important. I believe that the total cost for the posts and the chains was $526. That's $347 for the six posts and $179 for the chains. And Rodrigo Argueta needs to get reimbursed. So if you have PayPal, Vimo, and other means, please try to do so. The other thing is that the last fund drive was very, very high. The goal of $650,000, which I objected to from the beginning, and now is at $600,000. Do you feel that it's still a bit high, that we should be a bit more realistic because we fell very short from that, even considering after considering the cost associated with that? And then the other position is I don't think that having no layoffs is a practical position.
Okay, thank you, Bella.
Thank you.
Okay, let me just say quickly, the fund drive goal at 600,000 is probably optimistic. I'm just going to be realistic about it. It's probably optimistic. However, Barry and Terry tell me that our needs are great and that we need to make that explicitly clear. So 600,000, it's not a matter of whether it's realistic. It is a matter of reality. We need to raise that kind of money. With regard to layoffs, I just have to tell you, maybe it's because of where I come from in labor. I am against layoffs unless absolutely indisputably necessary. So I realize that may not be fiscally sustainable, but that's just the way I feel about it. Please. I think our people are important. I think the job they do is important. They wouldn't be here if they weren't making a contribution. And we just need to recognize how essential they are to our continued health and welfare.
Michael, may I be recognized? Are you muted? You muted, Michael.
I see Fred, myself, and then Mansoor, and that'll be the last LSB comments. We're going to move to public comment after that.
I wanted to make a correction to what Bella said.
You're on the stack, okay. And you'll have a chance.
All right. Got
Mr.
it.
Mr. Blair.
Thank you, Michael. Mo, I yep. just wanted to make a... I have two questions. I wanted to make a correction. The goal was 650,000, not 600. In any case, have you been in contact with our new general manager, Luis Quesada, I think it is? Have you been feeding him information about, so he'll be up to speed when he starts? I believe his start date is mid-August. I'll let you answer.
Okay. The answer is no, but I expect to speak to him this week I understand he's in the process of getting his affairs in order, that he's looking for an apartment, and that he expects to be in town August 10th, and that it may be a little later than mid-August when he comes to office. However, I expect to meet with him personally for many hours while I'm in Los Angeles the week of – I'm going to be there Monday the 9th and then all the way through to Friday. So I expect that a lot of that time is going to be spent with your new general manager. And, of course, I will brief him probably in excruciating detail all the things that are going on in the station, the things he needs to be aware of. And I'm sure that he has questions as well, which I'll be more than happy, in fact, eager to answer. Also, bear in mind, I don't just walk off into the sunset, or in my case, the sunrise, but that I will make myself available to him as resource for whatever he may need.
Thanks. I want to say.
Thank you, Mo. The second question is, we were told at the local finance meeting last Wednesday that the payroll had been paid on the 15th, and we had not been had to borrow any money. And so I was a little disturbed when I heard that we actually did borrow $12,000. We had borrowed $17,000 several months ago and have not paid it back. Do you have any additions or additional information on that?
Well, my best information from the emails that I read were that we were just shy this payday, this April. What am I saying?
July.
I'm sorry. This July 15th. So I was not aware of the pre-existing amount, but I do know that Barry is working very, very hard to get things rearranged to make payments, if not pay off the prior amount. I know we're in negative cash position, but we are generally doing better than what you might expect. So I think what you're looking for, what we all want, is a net positive cash flow. And I think that's what Barry is working very diligently to do by looking for cost savings elsewhere.
Okay, thanks. There is time on the agenda for the Treasurer's Report and the Finance Committee. We'll be getting that later on. I did want to ask, Mo, I want to thank you for doing the report to the listener as the GM, and we had discussed the idea of beginning the mandated LSB reports for listeners. Do you have a time schedule for that yet?
I have to talk to right now. My contacts are Maggie, Ali, and Terry to find an appropriate time slot. I had originally planned to come back to another report to the listener on Monday the 9th, but I may not be there.
Okay,
on the 9th.
I'm talking about July. We're talking about July for the LSB.
Right. No. Again, I have to talk to my three primaries and see if we can find you a slot in July.
All right. Thank you, Mansoor. And then we're going to listen to comment.
Yeah. Thank you, Mo, for your report. I was going to say, if anybody wants to give money towards the gate, it has to be a donation to KPFK. And in the memo, you have to write down gate.
That's correct. Thank you.
Yeah, you cannot contribute money from PayPal or whatever. It just doesn't work that way. You have to specify.
Okay, that's great. Right. Thank you.
And that was because we wanted to be accountable for it. We wanted to be accountable.
Okay, we're going to 10 minutes of public comment. I see Andrew Weiss has a hand up. And any other members of the public who wish to speak, please indicate by raising your hand in for STAC. Go ahead, Andrew.
Yeah, can you hear me? Yes, can you hear me?
We can hear you.
Yes, go ahead. Please speak.
All right, just want to make sure you can hear me. Hey, Mo, thank you so much. As a longtime listener, I think you did an awesome job, and you're an example for future GMs. Question. Do you think regarding the report to the listener, the dialogue to the listener, was valuable for you to do? What was your experience? And would you recommend it to the next general manager? And then also a suggestion with the parking lot. Perhaps we could make use of the great need for the parking lot through the public in downtime, hire a valet and charge the public to park there and raise funds for the station. Thanks again, Mo. Wish you well and everything.
Okay. First, with regard to...
I'm sorry, Mo, yeah, you don't have to respond to every comment.
Okay.
Our time is at a premium. Kim
yes,
Kaufman is next.
Just shortly, I'd yeah. say yes, it was valuable.
Mm-hmm. Kim Kaufman, and then I have Colin Use a 3 on the phone. Kim.
Hi, everyone. This is Kim. Hello, Mo. You may have seen my emails. I'm a former treasurer here. So I just want to clarify that $17,000 for payroll that is still owed to the affiliates was from last year, nothing recent. And you said that there was a $17,000 advance asked for. Well, I don't understand what that was for.
I would just, may I quickly just say, I would defer to the Finance Committee and the Finance Report for any corrections or accuracies there. I knew there was $17,000 outstanding.
What, is that what you said the advance was for, to pay
no,
that
no.
off?
I'm in error. You're correct.
Or was that a personal advance to Barry?
No, it was not.
Okay.
No, I'm in error, and I would yield to the Finance Report.
Yeah, I wouldn't either. I wouldn't do that either. But it's problematic. The Finance Reports, which I will deal with later. And I agree with you, Mo, that the station is not doing as bad as what the Finance Reports are saying. And I would be happy to go over them with you. This whole idea of more layoffs, I do not see as warranted at this point. People don't know really how to read spreadsheets yet. And I will deal with that further later on when I have a little bit more time. But yes, the telecom should be looked at, Mo. I mean, we're spending over $100,000 on the phone systems, and KPFA is spending like $30,000. I asked you, Barry, why is that? And he just shrugged. I mean, that's a payroll or two, and could be dealt with. And there are other useless contracts, which Barry said he couldn't get rid of. I would suggest giving them to Lydia. Lydia's excellent at breaking contracts.
Okay, thanks. Kim, you're at time.
Thank you.
Colin User 3, and then I have somebody on 310 also on the phone. Colin User 3, go ahead. Unmute yourself, please. Colin User 3, you're on the phone. You have your hand up. Please speak. Otherwise, we're going to go on. Okay, I have someone on the phone with a 309 area code ends in 3024. Please unmute yourself and speak.
Hi, can you hear me? Can you hear me,
Yes, we can.
Michael?
Please speak. Please speak.
Okay, thank you. Yeah, I just wanted to make, obviously it may be a little bit late for this particular fund drive, but going forward, I noticed on the fund drive, a lot of the premiums are in the $120 range, $150, et cetera. And I think that is a very unfortunate. I think it cuts out people. I do not know what it costs to make, you know, a bumper sticker or, you know, a mug. I guess a mug is probably pretty expensive, but whatever. I think there should be premiums available like bumper stickers or whatever, at levels of $25 and $50, so that people get a small token thank you gift, but also that it's affordable. Thank you.
Okay, I would just say I agree. We're going to look at premiums comprehensively because there's always a cost-benefit trade-off there. And so, yeah, we should have a closer look at that.
Thank you. We appreciate that. We definitely have to look at the costs of raising the funds in terms of what we actually realize from them. So we're moving the agenda to the discussion of the Articles of Incorporation Amendment.
Michael, Is public comment really over? Can I make one 10 seconds?
10 seconds. Go ahead.
Okay. Only because Mo is here. Mo, I got to tell you, Barry has been overly optimistic about fund drive estimates for years. It is why.
Okay, thank you. Please don't make comments. Do not make comments about personnel. Thank you.
I'm sorry. There, Mo said that was.
All right, thank you. We're moving the agenda to the Articles of Incorporation Amendment, which we moved up on the agenda. I'll ask Eric C. Jacobson to motivate it and explain what's involved. You have to unmute yourself, Eric.
Yes, thank you, Michael. I hope people have seen the posting at Pacifica elections at .pacifica.org, where the text of this proposed amendment to the Articles of Incorporation can be read. Let me begin by explaining my thought process in formulating this Articles amendment. It begins with the part of the bylaws that state that bylaws amendments are not to conflict with the Foundation's Articles of Incorporation, and that was my point of departure because of my own personal strong belief that these two bylaws amendments that have been member-generated petitions in the last two-plus years have been costly to Pacifica in many ways, and were just ill-advised, in my humble opinion. And so what I wanted to do was to formulate a articles amendment that would send a message that the kind of bylaws amendment that was represented by the Pacifica Restructuring Project in the New Day, more recently, just concluded, would not be feasible because they would conflict with the Articles of Incorporation as amended by my proposal. And so the way I went about that was to basically put into our articles the concept that's currently embodied by our present bylaws, which have been in effect, as everyone knows, since 2003, beginning in 2004, I think was the first elections for local station boards. And so we have been an organization that is democratically self-governed by its members continuously since 2004. And the bylaws amendments that I just mentioned, the two in these last two plus years, have sought to drastically change that. The way in which our current method of being democratically self-governed is, of course, everyone knows, because especially those of us on the LSB all know that we started the process of becoming LSB members by becoming candidates. We participated in the procedures to put our qualifications and our platforms out there online and in forums. And we did the equivalent of a campaign of sorts. And then we were voted in against other candidates who also did the same thing. And it's, to me, a very, very important part of our legitimacy as people in the governance of the organization. And as such, we serve in turn one of our principal powers. We have a lot of subsidiary powers, but really, I've always thought our principal power was what I call our capacity as the feeder institution, you might call it, to create the Pacifica National Board. So each of us every January vote amongst ourselves as LSB members for those four people who we feel we have the highest confidence to serve effectively on the Pacifica National Board. And I'm especially proud of our current crop of Pacifica National Board members. I don't agree with, all of them on all issues. I disagree fairly strongly lately with a couple of them, but that's neither here nor there. As a group, they were legitimately raised to the Pacifica National Board, and I'll point out they did so in very short order. So you have a system which allows people, such as the two that I know of, because I participated in the candidates' forums with them, Beth von Guten and Jim Osborne, who decided that they had something to contribute to Pacifica. They went through the process of putting their qualifications and backgrounds out to the Pacifica membership voters, and they won election. And in the first opportunity, since our rules also include a one-year experience interval, that you cannot go on to the Pacifica National Board unless you've been on the local station board for 1 year. At the first opportunity, they became Pacifica National Board members. And they contributed enormously to the Pacifica National Board. So what I'm saying is this. The Articles Amendment institutionalizes the process, at least somewhat comparable to what we have now. It doesn't make it in stone, because the articles are somewhat analogous to a constitution type of document. But it does preclude, if you scroll down to the bylaws, if you'll notice that the bylaws, we once had just eight or so Pacifica National Board members. And there's a language there that allows the number to change. Right now we have 21 or two. The point is that the language that I'm proposing, it would ensure that whatever is done in terms of a bylaws amendment in the future would have to import the idea that nobody could come to the Pacifica National Board without competing against other candidates for that office.
Thank you, Eric.
An electoral process. I'll answer any questions in due time.
Okay, thanks. So I'd like to clarify what the process is involved in. You can reference, as Eric said, the this amendment to the Articles of Incorporation was noticed by the PMB quite some time ago. It's been on the elections.pacifica.org website, along with the other two elections, the bylaws referendum election, which is completed, and the local station board election, which is underway with the nomination process continuing through Wednesday. If you're interested in running for the local station board, you still have time to fill that out. The third election is this one for a potential amendment to the Articles of Incorporation. This has a very high bar. It must be approved by two-thirds of the directors on the Pacifica National Board and by two-thirds of the delegates on at least three of the five local station boards. We are actually the first local station board to be voting on this. I'm not sure why the other station boards did not take it up this month. The timeline that's been on elections.pacifica.org calls for that all to take place between July 1st and July 31st. The bylaws specify that such changes to the Articles of Incorporation must be approved in the same month by those majorities on the PNB and three of the five LSBs. If it is so approved, it will go on the same ballot at all five stations with the local station board elections at that station for a yes or no vote by the members. And the members must also approve an amendment to the Articles of Incorporation by a two-thirds majority. So we do have sufficient members. I've been advised by our teller and sometime parliamentarian that we cannot do an email vote, which I was hoping we could do because we've had some absences. But we have a sufficient number of local station board members to achieve the necessary majority if enough people do vote in favor of it. So this is not a moot discussion. And I think that if we do approve it, then other station boards will be motivated to call meetings to discuss it before the end of this month. There's still almost 2 weeks left. So we do have quite a bit of time for this discussion. I'm wondering if there are questions. Just to clarify, Mr. Jacobson offered this originally. It was taken up in the PNB Governance Committee. It was forwarded to the PNB as a motion from that body. It was signed on to by a sufficient number of PNB members have it be considered, and then the PNB did vote without objection to begin the process of notice. There were notifications on the airwaves and on the website, and so we're in the midst of that process now. So if there are questions, it's not Mr. Jacobson's motion at this point. It is a motion for the whole body to consider, coming from at least the Governance Committee of the PNB and a vote of the PNB to consider it. And once it would be approved, there is, if it were approved by us and by two more LSBs, by at least that necessary majority, and by the PNB, then it will go to the members on the August 15th ballot that goes out. So are there questions for any of the directors who are on the call who have been part of this process, or for Mr. Jacobson, or any of the directors want to say anything further about it?
Jan Goodman for the STAC. Jan Goodman for the STAC.
Okay, I hear you, Jan. Just is anybody, any of our Ali, Jim, Beth, or Lawrence as directors, do you want to say anything about this before we take a general STAC? Okay, hearing nothing, go ahead, Jan.
Yes. First of all, I just want to say that the New Day bylaws won by a good margin in a democratic election, and we need to all understand that this is just one of many efforts to defeat the vote of the majority of the members of Pacifica. And just to clarify, the officers named in the New Day bylaws did run against other people, and those people were the current president, vice president, secretary, and treasurer, and they ran in a democratic election, and the people voted for the new proposed officers. They voted against the current officers. So this was not some, like, they didn't, weren't voting against, they, people were not voting against nobody. This was a democratic election, and the current officers, people wanted the current officers, they voted no. If they wanted the new officers and the new bylaws, they voted yes. If they wanted the new bylaws but not the current, but not the proposed officers, then they voted no. So this was what supposedly Mr. Erickson and this articles proposed, and the current officers were defeated. This was not some, you know, they were not, it was not as if the current, the proposed officers were voted, were running against nobody. They were voting against concrete, real people, and those people lost. And I will end it right there, and if I have additional comments later, I'll hopefully be able to make them. Thank you.
Lawrence to the stack, Chair.
Yeah, thank you. I see
back
a hand up from
staff.
Beth. Yes, yes.
I
understand that. Please let the chair speak when he's trying to recognize people. As I was saying, I saw Beth von Gunten's hand up for quite some time. Beth is next, then Lawrence, and then I'll call on myself.
Thank
Go
you.
Go ahead, Beth.
I was asked, do you hear me?
Yes.
Can you hear? Okay. I was asked as a candidate in a candidate's forum at Jan's house, actually, where I stood on the issue of democratic process, the democratic governance process of Pacifica. And I said then that I was four square behind it, and I stand by that. I think that this is the best way I've seen yet to preserve that and not have the organization railroaded into giving up its rights and ending up with a far, far less participatory organization, and I strongly want to encourage people to get behind this. Thank you.
Thank you. I see hands up from Bella DeSoto, Oscar Ulloa, and Eric Jacobson, and I do want to speak, but I'll wait. Go ahead, Bella.
Lawrence.
I'm sorry. Yes, I didn't see. Yes, thank you. I didn't see you. Lawrence is next, and then Bella. Okay. Go ahead, Lawrence.
Thank you. So the proposal was vetted quite substantially by the PNB Governance Committee, which I am the chairperson of. And we had the requisite amount of directors to sign on to notice such event. And an additional 11 directors signed on after that. And when the motion was made at the PNB meeting to notice this articles of incorporation, it passed without objection. So I just want to let you know that if you are about maintaining a democratic governance structure, I would think it's a no-brainer for you and that you would support this amendment. Thank you.
Thank you. So I have Bella, Oscar, Beth, did you raise your hand again or just hadn't lowered it? Okay, Bella, Oscar, Eric, did you want to speak? You took your hand down.
No, I still want to, but go ahead, okay. Michael. You had wanted to speak. So.
That's all right. Bella, Oscar, Eric, and then myself.
Yes, thank you, Lawrence, for that. I fully concur. We got to be very careful when we speak of motion. We have to refer to the amendment of the Articles of Incorporation, because that's what we want support for, not what Jan Goodman has let out, which I feel it has been conducted in a nefarious manner, as everything else that this group has attempted to put forth with great deceit and misrepresentations and lies. And so, therefore, I urge this body to consider seriously this is another step to preserving our governance system. Can someone mute? Thank you. And so that we can maintain the system as is. In that when we do get to the point where we have to conduct a bylaw convention, that we have a clear platform from which to do so. Thank you.
Gar is next, then Eric, then myself.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I want to acknowledge, kind of give my thanks to Mr. Jacobson, and kind of for a lot of us that are not so well versed on legalese, I just wanted to put it on plain terms, you know, street terms, which is pretty much this motion in an opinion is also designed to stop what pretty much must be considered as a fight in between classes. Not only according to bylaws, but also according to our economics. These two last intentions from these groups are actually about who has the more money to pour more mailers out, who has the more money to reach more people through physical means, who has more money to in words, who has more intentions on to deceive. The membership. I think this definitely, on my opinion, was a war against a class. And in this class, in this case, I consider myself as a working class member. So I think it was a war, something against our class. And this and it's really unfortunate.
Michael, you're muted.
Thanks, Eric.
Yes, thank you, Michael. language in the Articles Amendment would have prohibited the kind of bylaws amendment or any renewed effort for something like what either of the two that have previously failed. For this reason, they speak of the prohibition on any change in the number or identity of directors by shortening or abolishing the tenures of any or all of the current directors in favor of other directors who do not have to compete in elections against rival candidates, director candidates, prior to becoming directors. So I just wanted to point out that the kind of wordplay that Jan engaged in, whereby the idea that you could formulate a proposal that would literally in one swoop eliminate the current PNB, which is what the proposal did, and substitute in a four-person group to be empowered for 3 years and then some other follow-on kinds of things to supplement that group. But the point is that that would, in fact, not be consistent, because what's contemplated here is at least something akin to what we currently do, which is we have elections among people who all seek the same office, and people can evaluate their credentials against one another. And there's a vote initially by the members to create the LSB. And then at every successive point, the LSBs do the same thing as they form their four persons to create the PNB. And then the PNB, as far as the officers go, they do a version of that at the PNB to select their officers. So the point is, it's that electoral quality that is missing from these, the idea of a sweeping referendum where four people are pre-designated to have power for 3 years. It's the opposite of democratic self-governance by the members. So I urge a yes vote. I think we can show some leadership here. Pacifica has an identity crisis. I'll say one last thing. The nature of this vote, I'm not sure how well understood it was, but, you know, that'll be hashed out probably for months and months as to whether this was well understood, what people were voting for when they voted.
Try to wrap it up.
But there is an identity crisis. Some people do not like our current form of government. But I'm asking for people to solve the identity crisis by, you know, having this, I guess you might say, institutionalizing it, so that we can all try to get along, and we all then can agree that we have this system that we respect that gives us all legitimacy, and not some other type of system, which I don't think anybody has ever come up with.
All right, thanks, Eric.
Other than democracy, which is the best system except for all the others, according to a not entirely honorable man named Winston Churchill. But he was right on that point.
All right, please wrap it up. So I'm next on the stack, and then Mansoor. If Jan sincerely believes that the New Day bylaws was consistent with this amendment to the Articles of Incorporation, then I think she should vote in favor of this amendment to the Articles of Incorporation. My own understanding is that in the New Day bylaws revision, it specifically said the four officers were appointed in the transition aspect of the document that was put forward, not elected. So I personally, I don't think it would have passed muster, but if she believes it did, then I don't see why she would oppose this amendment to the Articles of Incorporation. Mansoor is next.
All right. Thank you, Michael. Could you time me, please? No more than 90 seconds. Eric, the stuff that you're saying, it's good for your ears, because you're just repeating the same things over and over, and it doesn't make sense. What happened in this election, it was one group of PNB representative versus a new group of PNB representative. It was voted by the members of the foundation. It wasn't voted by non-members, and it passed. So for you to come and say that this is like something we have to do different this time, democracy, well, democracy was at work when people were voted in for the New Day Pacifica by a large margin. Okay, so please control yourself. Thank you.
Okay, are there additional members? Thank you, Mansoor. Members
of the stack.
Okay, I think you spoke once, Lauren, so before you speak again, let's see if there's anybody else.
Sure.
Are there other members of the LSP that want to speak or haven't spoken yet? I can't see the whole screen at the same time, so speak up. I'm trying to go back and forth. All right, go ahead, Lawrence.
Thank you. So I just want to let the listeners know in the stream knows that Plan B of the bylaws that we are currently residing under created two classes of members. One is the staff class. Two is the listeners class. Now, I know New Day had invested a lot of money in sending out the misinformation propaganda, hoping that the staff will support their effort. But I think what they weren't counting on was that it blew up in their face and that the staff essentially, as a second class of member, with the same voting rights as listeners, decided not to pass the New Day proposal. So, further, New Day Pacifica engaged in a compact with the Pacifica Foundation and the PNB to abide by a memorandum of understanding, an arbitration process, where the same process that took place in the first iteration of their proposal, which was the Pacifica Restructuring Project, solely stated that they will abide by the outcome of and the rules and the procedures that took place in the vote on the Pacifica Restructuring Project. Now, it's easy to try to cherry pick what part of the bylaws you wanna follow or you wanna adhere to, but I just wanna say that, you know, we are a divided foundation. This is my director's report. We are a divided foundation, but you know what? The staff has spoken, and they veto your attempt to impose
a
referendum on the whole foundation. So that's all I got to say about that. Thank you, Chair.
Okay, thank you. Are there other members of the local station board that wish to discuss this further?
Yes, Chair, this is Paulina.
Yeah, go ahead, Paulina.
I'll be brief, and I may start with a preamble that not everybody will like what I have to say, but I do have to say it. The New Day's bylaws referendum lost. And it seems like we have a bunch of sore losers here. And I just have to say, folks, we either play by the rules or we go find a job with NPR, you know. Let's accept reality and let's please pass this very important amendment to the Articles of Incorporation to protect this radical experiment in listener and volunteer democracy. Thank you. That's all.
Okay, thank you. I see Beth Van Gunten has a hand up.
Thank you. Yes. I wanted to point out that the vote of listeners might have turned out very differently if the staff at KPFK hadn't had one-sided exclusive access to the airwaves and violated fair campaign practices with impunity, with no one to stop them. That, as far as I'm concerned, that's a major thumb on the scale. So I think that was reflected in the skewed outcome and discredits their positions. Thank you.
Thank you. Bella has a hand up, and then I'll call myself one last time.
And
also.
Jim to the stack.
Okay. Jim, all right, hang on a second. Jim, you haven't spoken yet. Why don't you go next?
Thank you. You know, one of the things that people rarely admit in this debate is that the listeners, you know, by more than 1,000 votes, voted for New Day Pacifica. So people can pontificate about who won and lost, you know, based on a 70-vote difference in the staff. But that's all you're doing is kind of blowing smoke, because you're not acknowledging, even if, for the sake of argument, it did require a two-level voting system, you're not acknowledging that if there was one man, one vote, there would have been overwhelming support for New Day Pacifica. Now, as to the who's causing any future litigation, some people say, well, why is some parties threatening to go to court or threatening litigation? New Day Pacifica has repeatedly asked Pacifica, and the same agreement that you guys reference that New Day Pacifica signed that supposedly binds it to a bi-level system of voting, which the document clearly does not. So if we're supposed to abide by that document, then you should go to arbitration and let the arbitrator rule on it. But Arthur Schwartz and the PNB is refusing to go back to arbitration. So Pacifica is refusing to go to arbitration and probably will force the matter into the court. And then they'll turn around and say, oh, gee, New Day Pacifica is wasting our money and our time. No, we all agreed to go to arbitration. The documents it clearly says that all disputes are to be decided by the arbitrator. But this bi-level voting system, Mr. Schwartz claims, is not susceptible to the same dispute. So you can't have your cake and eat it, too. You can't not go back to arbitration as you said you would and then turn around and claim somebody is, you know, doing you some harm or some injustice by asking a court to intervene and force you back into arbitration, which is what you agreed to. So
okay, thank you.
It's not that complicated. And anyone who wants me to explain the legalities, I'll be happy to sit down and go over the bylaws with you in the arbitration agreement and explain where the problem arises.
Okay, thanks. So there are several people who have already spoken who want to speak again. Can I get a time check on how much time we've spent on this already? Because we need to get 10 minutes of listener comment in. Tim Berico, what time we started this discussion? I'm sorry.
We started at 11:30.
Okay, so that's 40 minutes. We have a little more time. So I have Bella, Eric, Jan, and myself. Bella, you need to unmute yourself.
Sorry. I am here. After hearing Jim Osborne, one would think that, we should be following an orderly procedure here. This group never did follow an orderly and just procedure. And I wanted to also say that what has not been spoken is that it was primarily the unpaid volunteer staff across the network who defeated, justly so, duly so, this deceitful campaign of New Day. And I'll leave it there. Thank you.
Michael?
I'm sorry, Jan Goodman and then Eric.
Michael, why don't you go first since you haven't spoken, and then I'll speak.
That's okay. I'm waiting.
Well, I think that, you know, you should just go in order because since I'm going to probably be the last person to speak for the no's, and then Eric is going to speak for the yeses, I think that you should go before me.
Jen,
so that
go
I can rebut,
so we can stop losing
so that
time.
So that I could possibly rebut whatever it is that you are going to say.
Just let Jen go.
Thank you.
That's fine. I'll go ahead. I'm sorry. Who is that? Beth, did you say something?
Point of information, yes. Is this time that we're losing now being deducted from her time, or how does that work?
I'm just moving on. There's no question that the bylaws revision changed the rights and responsibilities and relationship of staff and required a separate staff approval. No majority has the right to take away the rights of another group. And so that's where it stands. We're not litigating that here. We're discussing an amendment to the Articles of Incorporation that would declare that Pacifica is a democratically self-governed organization, and that if changes are made in the bylaws, they would not remove or replace elected members of the board of directors without having a direct electoral contest, which did not take place in the last one. It's very clear. I think that we need to understand a lot of the arguments that have been made about the so-called staff veto, that under the terms of the New Day bylaws that were being proposed, by dividing the staff into two separate segregated bodies, which no justification was ever given for in terms of the size of the PMB or the size of the local boards or anything else. There was no explanation given whatsoever. That change in the composition of Pacific as a whole and the membership, not just in the bylaws, but in creating a new third class of membership, did two things. It created single member districts so that a simple majority could take all the representation on various bodies simultaneously, unlike the current single transferable vote mechanism, which is in place, which has multiple people running for multiple seats so that there's a diversity of opinion and that nobody is excluded. The claim that somehow this creates factionalism basically would be replaced by a system with no factions except the one that would take control of the entire foundation. So the idea of creating single separate seats for the paid and unpaid staff is part of that idea, so that, for example, the new LSBs who have been created, there's not really an election for the LSB. There's an election for each individual officer on the LSB, and then some people are appointed. Same thing with the PNB. Eventually, there will be an election for each individual officer, and some people will be appointed. But under the terms of the New Day amendment, very clearly spelled out in the amendment itself, the four officers taking office for 3 years would be appointed, not elected. It says it right there in the language. In addition, by creating two separate classes of membership for the listeners, it creates a veto, staff veto, very, very clearly a staff veto by the paid staff, which is even smaller in number than the staff as a whole, because most of the staff around the foundation are unpaid, including at our station. And the majority of the paid staff are now at a single station. And so that's a very, very dangerous change that would have been made, and a real veto, because any further changes could be vetoed by a handful of people at one station. So I'm done. I have Mansoor has a hand up again. I don't know. Were you just calling time on me, or did you want to speak, Mansoor?
I wanted to speak, but I can go afterwards if you want.
Jan on the stack.
Yeah.
Is
there, yes,
Jan. Yeah.
Me on the, that's right. Jan, yes. Go ahead, Jan.
Okay. So, Mr. Jacobson just reiterated the false narrative that the entrenched minority has been
putting forth this entire election, that somehow the four officers would be in charge of Pacifica for up to 3 years before anybody could do anything. And that if anybody, he included, or anybody read the actual New Day bylaws would see, is totally inaccurate and is just disinformation. The reality is that the New Day bylaws provide that within 9 days of the election being certified, that each of the five LSVs would elect a new person to be a director to the PNB, and that the affiliates would do the same, and that that 10-member body would then meet together, and during that time period, the staff would meet and elect their staff representatives, and once the staff represented, so the 10-member body would meet within 15 days, so basically within 2 weeks. So this idea, and that would be the first meeting of the officers and the new directors from each station. So there's never a moment when the PNB would just be composed of these four officers. But that piece of disinformation has been blasted so long that even Mr. Jacobson, who's a lawyer who could read and should know that that was false, is reiterating this. So that there was the first meeting of the PNB under the new bylaws would include 10 people, and then the second meeting would include the two staff people, so that would be 12 people, and those 12 people would elect the at-large people, and then that 15-member board by the third meeting would be entirely constituted. So there's never a moment that this crazy idea that these four officers would be in charge. There's not one moment, because before then, the old PNB is going to be in place. And as evidence, just for all of you listening, that the entrenched minority understands that they are on their way out.
That's point of personal privilege. I object to this filibuster, Michael.
Okay, I'm sorry. I'm sorry, Eric. I'm going to mute you for a second. Wrap it up, please, Jan.
No. This is public information.
It's public information, but complete your comments, please.
Excuse me. It was put out on the. This was put out by the PNB as their report out, and that is. That Pacifica, in order to damage that the Pacifica National Board, in order to damage Pacifica, and in acknowledging that they are on their way out, just gave the IED a 6-month contract for an unspecified but nice salary, and that is more evidence to me, and should be the others, that they know that there's days and numbers. Thank you.
Okay, thank you. Eric?
Thank you, Michael. Listen, I didn't want this to become a referendum on the New Day, because that's happened. It's in the past tense. I don't know what the insinuations are, but I hope they're false about any type of legal continued maneuvering. That would be very unfortunate. The point of the amendment is this. A small group of people got together. They abjured our current governance system, which has methods to have through the governance committee bylaws amendments that are given through the process of mature give and take.
I'm sorry. People
excuse me. Thank you. This was not done. The bylaws can be mended, but the objective, what it's trying to prevent here, is another effort of a small group unilaterally to sit in a room amongst themselves and come up with their dream bylaws. That's not the way the organization works. We all ran for office in the current system, and now we have some
okay,
people
thank you, Mr.
who are
Jacobson.
Going in their own way and trying to supplant it. That's wrong, and I
all right, we're at time. There were several people who had their hands up, and Polina asked for stack because she can't raise her hand because she's a co-host, but we're at time for the LSB portion of this. We have 10 minutes of listener comment. Are there listeners who wish to speak on this question of the or anything? I mean, we can't limit what your comment is about. So if you want to speak.
Yeah, I have a point of order.
What's your point of order, Mr. Reyes?
My point of order is it sounds like Jan just disclosed possible proprietary information. And I know Mr. Osborne knows that because he does it all the time.
Objection, Mr. Chairman.
We're moving on to public comment. I have Mr. Markowitz has a hand up.
Roman to the staff, public comment, please.
Okay, you can raise your hand if you're on a phone by pressing *9. Please do so. Mr. Markowitz is next.
Okay, I think that there's a very important missing element to this discussion. And it's going to pertain immediately to the upcoming LSB election, which coincides with the articles of proposal, which will also be on the same ballot. That is that in Los Angeles especially, and I'm pretty sure on all the other four signal areas, there was grossly, I'm going to repeat, gross, inadequate on-air dialogue and on-air inclusion of the listeners to be able to call in, to be able to discuss, be able to understand on point the New Day Pacifica proposal. All of the email blasts by New Day were extremely vapid. They had very little specific information about what these bylaws would actually change. The LA listeners especially were ignorant of the incredibly damaging consequences that New Day Pacifica's proposal would have engendered if it had passed. I believe that this huge majority of KPFK listeners who approved, voted yes on the New Day Pacifica bylaws amendment, were basically ignorant and were misled by New Day's specious, contrary, anti-democratic propaganda. So it's incumbent upon Pacifica and this board and the general manager who's still on this call to remedy this problem once and for all. This is way where we are losing our democratic attributes of this intensely fought for elected board structure.
Okay, and thanks, Mr. Markowitz.
Let me finish. Any of the board members on this, on it, at all four, five signal areas, do not really understand what we were facing when we initiated the bylaws, elected board bylaws, back in the 90s. We're talking about 97 through 2003, 6 years of struggle. And unless the board members that are currently running, or the newcomers, understand why we did this, then they're not going to understand really what's behind the listeners, definitely, are not aware of this history. So they don't understand what's really behind all this. There are many underlying political motives here as well, which go way beyond Pacifica itself, structurally and politically. So make no mistake, if we're going to have fair democracy, it has to be on the air, and all of the important programs have to be preempted for this in prime time, in full saturation. Otherwise,
okay, thank you.
Network. Thank you.
There is a motion later in the agenda relating that. Calling user three, you have to put your hand up. Please speak. Yeah.
Thank you. Can you hear me?
Yes, we do. Go ahead.
First, I am not a supporter, or was not a supporter, of the particular New Day bylaws amendment. However, I object to being called stupid or ignorant, and frankly, I think that those sorts of comments belie using anything like the term self-governing democracy to describe Pacifica. I will vote against the Articles of Incorporation Amendment, not because of factionalism, but because I don't believe that the proponents know what democracy is or care. They simply want power. And that's not such a terrible thing, but they don't admit it. As far as advertising is concerned, I was deluged in email by, I think it was called Pacifica, I don't remember, but it was against the bylaws amendment. I got stuff from New Day, and I don't think I was the least bit fooled. I was a bit surprised that the majority didn't, or wasn't considered an adequate majority in a self-governed democratic organization. Thus, until I am persuaded that democratic self-governance is part of Pacifica's governance, I will not vote for the change in the Articles of Incorporation. It is not aspirational. It asserts itself as a reality. Thank you.
There's a public comment in the chat from Hara Handala asked for it to be read out. No one in Pacifica has publicly mentioned the pernicious nature of Robin Collier's Association of Affiliates. I found out from the New Mexico Charities Registry that under New Day, a new Pacifica director for the Pacifica affiliates would have been elected by a mere three people, the three current directors of the Association of Affiliates, Robin Collier himself, no surprise, Joseph Orozco of KIDE of the Hoopa Valley, Northern California, and Imgard Rope of Esperanza in San Antonio, Texas. Please see, there's an email, a URL, https://secure.nmag.gov, I guess that's New Mexico something, charity.search/charity-detail.aspx?FEIN=84-446-7741. Kim Kaufman, go ahead.
Hi, I just want to say that there is no report out from the last PNB meeting about the IED getting a salary. There's that. If that's true, it's a little alarming when it seems the IED is calling for more staff cuts at KPFK. The IED has not produced her own budget for the national office for this year, which is why the central services for all the stations have not been determined yet, and KPFK's budget, well, I mean, to even talk about making KPFK's budget for this year, for 2 months before the end of the fiscal year is, of course, absurd. But anyways, I'm just saying there has been no formal report out. And, you know, Pacifica is a leaky sieve. That's it. Thanks.
Okay, thank you. We are at time for this discussion. There is further, as I mentioned, there will be a motion later about on-air discussion debates of both the LSP and this by Articles of Incorporation Amendment if it does go to a membership vote. So, Janine, can you call the roll on, because I've been advised that we can't do an email ballot. There's no authorization in the bylaws for absentee voting, so it has to be people who are actually on this call. And again, to remind people, the required majority is 2/3 of the entire membership of the local station board, not 2/3 of those present voting. So we would need 16 affirmative votes.
This is Beth. May I ask that what we're voting on be stated so that it's clear what a yes vote means and a no vote means? Thanks.
Yes, we're voting up or down on the proposed amendment to the Articles of Incorporation, including the language that was referenced earlier. It's on the draft agenda as an addendum. It's on elections.pacific.org and has been for some time. It's basically incorporates some language about Pacifica being a democratically self-governed organization of its members and specifies some cases that would not be allowed to amend the bylaws, such as Mr. Jacobson. So a yes vote would move that forward in the process. Again, what's required is affirmative votes of at least 2/3 of at least 3 LSBs, affirmative vote of at least 2/3 of the Pacifica National Board, and then that would send it to the membership at large. I'm not sure why the recording has stopped, but this is a public meeting and the recording should probably continue. I don't think I can. There we go. All right, so Janine's going to call the roll of LSB members on this question. The LSB members are the delegates. I don't think we need to have a separate delegates assembly. Nothing in the bylaws actually refers to that. So we're voting as delegates because we are all delegates, and we need 16 affirmative delegate votes. Janine, can you go ahead and call the roll? Did we lose Janine?
Would you like somebody else to do the roll?
Yes, I'm going to do it in a second. Hang on a second. Okay, Michael Adler is not present. Alan Beek, have you voted on the...
Yes.
Okay, thank you. Can somebody please write this down because I can't do all of that at the same time.
I'm doing it, Michael Bella.
Thank you. All right. Fred Blair. Thank you. Fred Blair.
Fred Blair votes yes.
Fred, are you still on the call? You have to mute yourself to speak. I'm moving on. I'll come back to Fred. Sandy Child.
You are unmuted.
Fred here. I vote Fred Blair votes yes.
Okay, thank you. So that's Alan Beek, yes. Fred Blair, yes. Sandy Childs. I don't hear. I'll come back. Bella DeSoto.
Yes. Michael, can you hear me now? It's Sandy.
Yes, I can. Sandy, how do you vote?
I vote no.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you.
Bella DeSoto, did I hear you vote yes?
Yes.
Thank you. Jan Goodman? Jan Goodman? I'll come back to Eric Jacobson.
No,
I'm sorry. No, I vote no, and maybe you should unmute everybody so we don't have everybody having.
I don't have control of that. You have to unmute yourself. Eric Jacobson, I heard, voted yes.
I vote yes.
Thank you. Avelia Jones?
No.
Thank you. Ali Lexa?
No.
Barbara Marbach?
No.
James Osborne?
No.
Robert Payne, you'll need to
no.
voice it. Thank
no.
you. Thank you. Lydia Ponce?
Yes.
Thank you. Lawrence Reyes? You have to unmute yourself, Lawrence. I'll come back. Rocio Rivas?
I vote yes.
Thank you. Paul Roberson?
Chair, I'm unmuted. I vote yes. Lawrence?
Thank you. Okay. Paul Roberson?
I vote yes.
Thank you. Janine, are you back on the call? Janine Roan?
Yes, I am.
Okay. How do you vote?
And my vote is for yes.
Thank you. Mansoor Saba?
Pass.
That's a pass, you said?
Yes, pass.
Okay, thank you. Oscar Ulloa?
I vote yes.
Thank you. Polina Vasiliev?
Yes.
Elizabeth Van Gunten?
Yes.
That was a yes?
Yes.
Okay, Harvey Wasserman?
No, I vote no.
Okay, Keanu Williams not on the call. I have chair votes yes. I have 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7.
Don't you want to come back to me?
Oh, I'm sorry. That's right. You passed, Mansoor. Go ahead.
I'll vote no. Thank you.
Okay, thank you. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12. I have 13 yes and 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8.
There's nine no's.
Nine, yes, nine no's. So that is a majority, but it's not the necessary majority of 16, and the proposed amendment to the Articles of Incorporation does not get the endorsement of the KPFK Local Station Board. Thank you.
Michael, this is Eric. Do we have it on authority other than Jan's email of yesterday that the way it works is two-thirds?
Yes.
The,
yes. I'm sorry. Jan's email to the side. My original draft of the agenda included the language of the amendment and the governing the timeline under the that was posted and the aspects of the current bylaws that specify a two-thirds majority of the PNB and a two-thirds majority of the entire delegates at three of the five stations. So that's that was clear. I'm sorry it wasn't included in the original draft of the agenda that went around to everybody, but I did send it again later, and Janine sent it back out in the PDF. So it may still come to a vote of the membership if three other local station boards vote by a two-thirds majority in the PNB, but we haven't.
Thank you, Mike.
Chair, can you review the votes because I was offline? Alan Beek.
Okay, Beek, yes. I'll reread them. Alan Beek, yes. Fred Blair, yes. Sandy Childs, no. Bill DeSoto, yes. Jan Goodman, no. Eric C. Jacobson, yes. Avelia Jones, no. Ali Lexa, no. Barbara Marbach, no. Jim Osborne, no. I have the initials RP.
Ponce.
Lydia.
No.
Lydia Ponce.
No.
Lydia Ponce. Yes.
No,
yes.
I have the rest of them. I think.
Okay. All right.
Yeah. Robert Payne, no.
Robert Payne was no. That's right.
Yes.
Olivia Ponce, yes. Lawrence Reyes, yes. Rocio Rivas, yes. Paul Robeson, yes. Janine Roan, yes. Mansoor Saba, no. Oscar Ulloa, yes. Polina Vasiliev, yes. Avelia, I'm sorry, Beth Van Gunten, yes. Harvey Westman, no, and the chair voted yes, 13 to 9. Thank you. All right, moving on to the agenda. We have, where did I put it? I think I wrote it from the back. We're up to the PNB director's reports and discussion. I asked the directors to be brief. There was a written report from Lawrence Reyes that went out. We're behind schedule on the timetable. Not sure why, but it's very difficult on a meeting like this to stick to the timeframes. So directors, anyone wish to speak? And we also have a brief report from the Committee of Inclusion, and then we'll get another period of public comment.
This is Beth. I did send a director's report. It went out after the meeting began because I was waiting for clarification on some wording, but it should be in everyone's inbox now, and I'd be happy to present it whenever you're ready.
Okay, if you can summarize it. Go ahead.
We're doing better financially. The details are in the report.
And is that it?
That's it.
Okay, thank you. Lawrence?
I'm sorry, Lauren, Michael, I did not hear what Beth said. Can she repeat it, or you?
Yes, she submitted her document in writing to everybody. It's in your inbox now. She was waiting to clarify some language. She
no,
said
I
the
heard
summary.
That.
Okay, the summary. The summary is that we are doing better financially, and the details are in the report.
Okay,
Lawrence,
so is that the reason why I received two pages? Ali Lexa made an amendment, made an addition to it. Can you read it, or do you want me to read it?
Ali Lexa is on the call and is one of the directors. He can make his report. Please wait to be called on, Bella. Thank you. The next person up is Lawrence Reyes. Lawrence, did you want to summarize or add anything to your written report?
I have not seen his report yet.
Bella, do not talk out of turn. The report was circulated before this meeting by the secretary to everyone. Look in your inbox and don't call out. Lawrence, are you still on the call? I can't see everybody at the same time. I don't hear him, so we're going to go to James Osborne, and then we'll hear from Ali Alexa. Jim Osborne, did you want to give a director's report of any kind? You have to unmute yourself, Jim. Okay, Ali Alexa, did you wish to say anything?
Sure. I was hoping that Beth was going to read some more of her report, but I understand we're trying to save time here. So I hope that most of you read the report she sent out. The information is accurate, and I defer to the information she put in there about financial and stuff. In my report, I want to add the report out from the closed session. That is, the PNB met in closed session to approve a contract for the interim executive director and to discuss other confidential matters of a legal nature. This means that the current IED is now being compensated, although the details are confidential.
Okay, thank you. So going back, Lawrence Reyes or Jim Osborne, one last shot. Otherwise, we'll move to board comment and then public comment.
Hello, this is Lawrence.
Yeah, go ahead, Lawrence.
Okay, I'm at a place where I cannot read my written director's report. I really like to encourage those directors who do not customarily submit written reports that they start doing that. It's about transparency and about accountability. My report is submitted, and I just want to highlight one of the things that I forgot to include in my report is that the KPFK Committee of Inclusion will be meeting on Monday, the 26th, at 4:30 p.m. Pacific Standard Time. and there will be a calling number in order to do that. Chair, if you could, if Janine could maybe read the first paragraph of my report, which I think is probably the most salient thing I wanted to say, and among other things in regards to my report, I'm not able to do that because I am out of town somewhere where I don't have access to a computer.
I understand you're at that ceremony. Thank you. All right, Janine, can you do that?
Okay. Here is my July director's report to the KPFK LSB Pacifica. It's divided, and we, the no and yes proponents and no advocates, must seek common ground for the sake of unity and solvency of our entire network. And I'm reminded what my great mom will always say to my family, that out of every challenge comes opportunity. Here we are with great opportunity to continue to move our station and network forward as I report the hire of the KPFK new general manager for our beloved KPFK, Miguel Calcada, beginning on September 15, 2021, and he will be visiting KPFK, the station, sometime in August, a date to be announced for a possible meet and greet with staff, board, and listeners, so stay tuned in. Do you want me to continue about the PNC governance?
He said that, he said to read the first paragraph as a salient point, so I think we can go on from there.
That's all I wanted. Thank you.
Point of information.
Yeah, are you talking about the fact that his name is Calzada?
Yes, it's a Catalonian name.
Yeah, it's a,
name, yeah, it's, a it's pronounced it's a, Calzada as if the C in the middle was in it.
Yeah, there's a, for those of you, there's a Cedilla under the C, and it's a soft C, Calzada. And
apologies.
Thank you.
Thank
it's okay. Lawrence, did you were you trying to say something else? I guess not. Okay, are there members of the board that want to comment on the director's reports, or can we move to public comment?
Yeah, I have nothing else to say. Thank you.
Thank you. All right, I do want to thank the members who did send in a written report, and I would urge we did adopt a policy to that effect on a motion from Mr. Beek. And it would be beneficial if we could do it. Ali, I'm going to try to talk to you during the week about trying the idea of getting a LSB page up and that I can work on and get some of that content so that the public can see it. It's impossible to dump it into the chat. Somebody asked for that, but the chat won't take anything like that unless you have a link to put in. Thank you. So we're going to our next period of public comment. Other listeners who wish to speak. Colin, user number 3, you're up.
Thank you. With regard to the reports, it would be very helpful to those of us that listen and who are members to be able to see those reports before the meeting, even just before the meeting. And I don't know whether we would have access, Mr. Chair, to this LSB page, but it would be very helpful and in the spirit of transparency were we to be able to see those reports.
Thank you. I appreciate that. I'm going to, as I say, I'm going to try to get the page. It would be public, but I'm going to look into the prospect of setting up a kind of outreach list for the local station board that people can sign on to, and to which we will publish these kind of documents so that people who want to see it can get it the same as the LSB.
Thank you.
Thank you. Kim Kaufman.
Hi. Why don't you upload them, append them to the agenda and upload them onto KPFTX? That would be the easiest thing that's already available. That's one idea. And one thing I haven't heard about from the directors is about the audit. And I have heard just the weirdest stuff in the last couple of weeks about this audit. The due date was June 30th. The IRS, K cannot extend it. I've heard conflation between the IRS date and the state of California date. The due date was June 30th. It was clearly not met because in order, it is required by the state of California that the audit committee meet with the auditor in public and review the audit and accept it. That has not happened. So there is no audit. The conversation in public has been just the wackiest thing I've heard in a very long time. And I think that's all I have to say about that matter. Thank you.
Okay, Mr. Race, you had your hand back up. Is that to respond on the question of the audit?
Yes, Chair. So I did include in my report, if I would have been in the Zoom, I would have definitely reported on the audit. I am on the audit committee. We are meeting with the auditor on Tuesday, this coming Tuesday. The 2020 audit, the initial audit has been submitted. There were some modifications done because there was a mistake found in our favor of over $500,000. So I have questions as in regards to how is that going to be encumbered in our financials and how that is going to be collected. And I believe it was from some years ago, Ms. Kaufman. So, the audit was submitted on time for first time in a very long time that an audit has been submitted timely, and the auditor is going to start working on the FY 2021 audit probably in the next month or so. So that's how that one, providing that all the financials and all the other information is provided on a timely matter, that order should be in timely as well. Thank you, Chair.
Okay, just thank you. We have a public comment in the chat from Hara Handala and Marla Bernstein. There's a hand up, and then I do see that Beth Van Gunder wants to respond. Let me read the public comment from Hara. It says, public comment regarding the filing of audited financial statements with accompanying notes to the California Attorney General. I don't know who that is, but please mute yourself. Regarding the filing of audited financial statements with accompanying notes to the California Attorney General, no extension is permissible from the AG's own website. I'm sorry, Beth, you have... Harvey Wasserman, somebody has to mute themselves. I don't know what the business is about their credit card, but it's disturbing the whole meeting.
You are muted.
No extent. There's a
unmuted.
Citation on the website. No extension is possible. Marla, and then Beth wants to respond. I don't know, Kim, did you want to come back, or do you still have your hand up? Marla Bernstein, go ahead.
Yeah, as a nonprofit.
Oh, that's Doug.
As a nonprofit educational corporation, we don't have to have any public meetings. As a FCC license holder, our governance is public. So the audit doesn't need to be public. That's all.
Yeah, put me on stack again, please.
Okay. Beth, did you want to respond around the audits? And then there's an additional public comment from Hara. Go ahead, Beth. Beth, you need to unmute yourself. Okay, let me read the public comment too from Hara Kuntra, what Director Rose just said. Yeah, go ahead, Beth.
Thank you. Yes, I go into greater detail in my director's report, specifically on the audit. It was delayed this morning specifically because I was waiting for clarification of language, because as Kim reflects, there are lots of details. It's complicated. And I'm hearing conflicting things. In general, it sounds good. The original audit was completed by the 30th of June. There was additional information, new information that came to light after that. We've been allowed time to modify the audit. especially good news, because it's $500,000 in our favor. And I refrain from going too much more into detail than that, because there are still loose ends out there, and I have heard conflicting things, and I'm trying to stick to what I know to be true, and I will be happy to clarify more the next time. I would have gone into more detail if there had been time for me to submit my whole report.
So, okay, thanks, Kim, and then I'll read Hara's other statement. Go ahead, Kim, unmute yourself.
The rules for the state of California clearly say that the audit committee has to meet with the auditor and review the audit. That has not happened. So there is no audit. If it was submitted to the AG, then that's a complete violation of California state law. And then Grace, at the last finance committee meeting, blamed the pension mistake on Sam Agarwal, who resigned in 2018, like three audits ago. That's weird. And then Lawrence is saying they're going to start the FY 2021 audit in a month. Yeah. We haven't even finished the fiscal year. And again, the audit committee has not publicly engaged the auditor, which is required by California state law. What is wrong with you people? Just read the rules. It's really simple. You can Google them, and they're bullet points. This is very
okay, thank you. So I'll read Harris and then just make a comment. At the July 13th PMB Finance Committee, he says that the Anita Sims, I guess the ICFO, said that the FY 2020 auditor's report was sent to Washington, D.C., but never got forwarded to the California Attorney General. So apparently that hasn't happened yet. The current fiscal year doesn't end until September 30th. There's no way to audit it until, you know, the fiscal year is completed and the books are closed. Janine Rowan says to everybody, I requested that we, the audit committee members, meet to review before it was submitted, and it was not accommodated.
Yeah, this is Lloyd.
Yeah, go ahead.
So one of the reasons that we're meeting with the auditor on Tuesday, as I just announced, and it's announced in my report, is hopefully to get the most updated information. This way the border confusion could stop and we could have more clarity. I can have more clarity. Beth Van Gooten, the director, can have more clarity as to what we should be able to report, and hopefully that report will reflect complete clarity as to where we are. And I understand that, having been a member of the audit committee, we do have to engage and we do have to hire the auditor again for the next audit. So Kim is right on that. Thank you.
Yes, thank you. Which can't happen until the fiscal year is over, I guess. All right. We have the treasurer and the finance committee reports. Fred Blair.
Can you hear me all right?
Yes. Go ahead.
Yes. Last Monday I sent out the May P&L financials from NETA to all the LSB members and all the local finance committee members. We went over those in the Wednesday KPFK local finance meeting. The consolidated financials for May superficially look very good. If you look at the consolidated pane, Pacifica has a profit of $1.1 million for May. And of course, we got $1.2 million in PPP loan money. So that's primarily the reason for that profit. And the purpose, of course, of the PPP money was to help out the organization survive the financial conditions of the pandemic. Jumping down to KPFK, KPFK has a profit of, I believe it was $1,500. Again, income was up 8% over the previous year, and expenses were, I believe, down over the previous year. I believe payroll is down by 13%. Payroll, each payroll now is about $50,000 per payroll. And of course there are two payrolls per month. But the reality is that KPFK is still running a $30,000 to $50,000 a month deficit. The April, May, and June spring fund drive, which was 45 days in length, raised approximately $410,000 in pledges. But that's just barely enough to keep the basically the station running, and that's why we're having a fund drive starting on Tuesday, July 20th. In any case, I just wanted to make it clear that most of that deficit that we're running on a monthly basis is in central. Basically, we're stiffing central services. KPFK has only paid 1 month of central services this fiscal year. Would somebody please mute their mic? I'm hearing squeaking noises, which is very disconcerting. KPFK is getting by, and probably the reason for the good financial outlook in the May P&Ls for KPFK was because we were doing that long fund drive, and money was coming into our bank account. I'm very disconcerted by the information that Mo provided today, that we were told at the finance meeting that that payroll had been paid without having to borrow any money, and that for the mid-month payroll, and that we would be able to complete the end-of-month payroll without borrowing money. And yet I hear that we borrowed money. So I don't know what the reality of the matter is, but the financial state of the station is, I would put as delicate, the best I can say. And I'm gonna open it up for questions at this point, and make this segment short, because we have to keep this meeting moving. Michael?
Okay, are there board member questions? We will have an additional listener comment a little later.
Bella to the stack, please.
Yes, go ahead, Bella.
So just wanted to correct you, Fred. You said that May was showing a profit of $1,500. Actually, that's year to date for fiscal year 2021. Through May. So that's the entire fiscal year from October last year through May of this year, $1,517.22. Nothing. This is unbelievable. So when I asked the IGM that I explained that the last goal of the last fund drive he conducted without really much thought, the goal was $650,000, which was unbelievable. And now he's sticking with $600,000. But you have to understand that when we collect any amount, we have to reduce the cost. So in actuality, less the cost of what was gathered or collected, we received $357,000. That's what we received, which we cannot survive on that. And like Fred, I am very alarmed because we continuously get very different and untruth responses and information from this business manager. And I don't know why is it that we have not been able to handle this much earlier on, because this has been going on for years, where we get no report, no timely report, and or inaccurate report. And not only that, we get all the reports we should be getting, we are not getting. And not only that, the reports that we do get are like I said, not accurate enough, and they have stopped. Our profit and loss, local profit and loss statement stopped months ago. So we are not getting local reports at all. All we get is a written piece of paper by the business manager. And this has been allowed to continue. And this is why we are where we are. So, you know, what are we going to do? What do we need to do? I know what we need to do. And now we have an election, so I hope that things change, because we cannot continue on this path. Thank you.
Was there a question in there?
Yeah, the question was, the question is that you are not, you have not, and you continue not doing your job. That is the question or the comment.
Michael, point of personal privilege.
Noted. Did you want to say anything further, Fred?
Yeah, I mean, do we need to attack people? Really?
No. All right. Janine has a hand up, and then Beth, and then I'll call on myself.
Thanks. I just wanted to agree, as somebody who's in the Finance Committee, agree with the lack of proper reporting from the business manager, and say that I hope that the new GM can really review that whole process and make the changes that need to be made. Thank you.
Beth, go ahead, and then myself.
Do you hear me now?
Yeah, now we can. Go ahead.
Yes, I want to register a formal complaint about that recent, particularly gratuitous verbal attack on the treasurer. It's unnecessary, it's uncalled for, and that kind of thing has to stop. Thank you.
Okay, thank you. Yes, we began that meeting, and I want people to keep in mind what Lydia Ponce said about how we deal with each other, and we really need to improve that, and people need to stop the ad hominem remarks. That said, there are a lot of problems with both our finances and our financial reporting. A couple of things did come up that I think should be added to the this report. Is that the National Finance Committee has put forward a timetable for the fiscal year 2022 budget development process, and that's actually begun. And I want to have a couple of minutes, it's on the agenda here, for a brainstorm of possible budget priorities for fiscal year 2022. The other thing is that we're basically on a treadmill. We're barely raising enough money in one elongated fund drive to get to the next one. As the general manager said on the call, he doesn't, in setting the goal of 600,000 for this next fund drive, he doesn't think we will meet it, but he has to say how much money we actually need to raise to be solvent. That's the problem. The problem is that our programming and the way we present it and the engagement we have with our audience is not generating the audiences of the income necessary to sustain the operations of the station. And there's, you know, you can slice it and dice it and parse it, but those are the plain and simple facts. And so the place to deal with that is not just with better fund drives, but with a programming that meets the needs of the community and attracts a support base and through the content and the presentation and the engagement with the community. Because otherwise, you know, we're sinking, and we're sinking, you know, for that reason. The misreporting is there. The other thing that came up in that meeting, I do want to call attention to, because the GM specifically talked about the need for other cuts apart from personnel, is that there was a substantial amount of money in travel that was expended. And I think that we're not in a position to cover people's travel. I mean, I know that a lot of it is going to places that need to be gone to, but we you know, spent money on travel for our former GM and for our former development director to go to meetings and conferences, and I don't think we have that money to spend. I agree that the first priority is maintaining the essential staff, and the staff is essential. So I think that there are definitely cuts that need to, further cuts that need to be made in administrative and other expenses. And from the beginning, the local station board has advocated for cutting management prior to staff, which has been done to some extent. And we need to look to see how we can increase the support. I'm glad that the board is coming up with a matching fund for this fund drive. Go ahead, Mansoor, you have your hand up.
Thank you, Michael. I want to talk about finance as well, but the stuff you're talking about, cut, 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 these are nothing but austerity plan and nothing from further from Milton Friedman's style of economics. So instead of we push for this cut, cut, why don't we just figure out a way to bring in more money? Like you have been trying to bring money from LSB. You have tried it three times. And the first time, I know who gave $100, and I know you gave it $150. You were able to raise $120 for the rest of the LSB members, right? And then we can't even rely on our own people who are advocating for KPFK 2. We have this $580 for the gate that we put up for the safety of employees, staff, and volunteers. And I didn't see anybody respond to the general manager that says we need some funds, and I think it's like $80-$90 is paid for so far, coming from two of us, Jose Benavides and I. So please, I beg you, stop talking about Milton Friedman austerity plan, and let's build up something concrete for KPFK and Pacifica. Thank you.
Okay, Lawrence, you have your hand up. And then we're going to move the agenda. Unless people
have other brainstorms. I'd like to be recognized.
Yes, I said, Lawrence, you have your hand up.
Okay. Sorry, I didn't hear you. So there's a thing called fiscal responsibility, and you can't get blood out of a stone. You could try, and you could keep trying. And the fact is that there are expenses, and then there are expenses. And some people may call it austerity. Some people may call it whatever they want to call it. Fact is that we have to bring our financial house in order. And that is a painful thing to do, especially when we have employees. But the fact of the matter is that whenever somebody talks about financial transparency and fiscal responsibility, all of a sudden, they latch on to holding on to their job or something like that, when the fact is that we have bare bones right now. We're looking to borrow money to make payroll. And you know, I donate money. I'm a frequent donor. I don't know what kind of donor you want to classify me as. But I don't want to say what I'm going to do with, or if I donated a measly $50 or whatever. I donate, and I will donate for the fence and for the security of the station. But I'm not going to tell you how much, and
try to gain an apple for somebody. Fact is that these are very painful these are very painful times, and we need to be fiscally responsible in regards to how we get our house in order, how we get our fiscal house in order. Being the internal optimist, I believe that we are going to be okay. We need to hit restart. We need to make the programming more relevant. There's a lot of programs that are entrenched. There's nothing fresh. There's nothing relevant. Right. And I hear this from listeners that have completely tuned out. If we were doing so great, why have we lost over?
Okay, thank you.
Over 30. Hold on a second. I'm gonna finish now. Over 30,000 to 35,000 listeners within the last 4 years.
Okay, thank
you. That's a reflection of our programming.
All right, thank you. Beth Van Gunsen has her hands up, and then I want to remind people that we do, we're actually at the point on the agenda for brainstorming budget priorities for fiscal year 2022. If you have any ideas of what we should prioritize in that budget for the upcoming fiscal year that begins October 1st. Go ahead, Beth.
So I'm speaking as a member of the elected to the National Finance Committee, and therefore serving also on the local finance committee, as well as on the fund development task force and the strategic planning task force, where this is much of what I work on. A balanced budget is ultimately necessary, and that has two major components, the expenses and the income and the revenue. And to harp on one without considering the other is it's a fantasy. It's highly irresponsible. The budget process normally starts with the GM, and he should bring forth a proposal to the PNB, or excuse me, to the LSB, to the Finance Committee, where it's reviewed and brought forward then to the LSB, where it's discussed and approved or not. This last year, management tried 7 times to do that and failed every time. And so they've been operating who knows how. You know, we don't know what their considerations are in deciding what to spend or how much, and it seems irresponsible to me that the station keeps coming back with their handout wanting more and more and more without accounting for what they're doing with it now. So we'll be at the beginning of a new budget process. I will be looking forward to the proposal, which I would hope will soon be forthcoming from management, and we'll take it from there. This is the chance for the LSB and listeners to put forth what we want to see prioritized at the station. Thank you.
Thanks. So I actually do want to comment on that. I think that a high priority in the coming fiscal year should be some amount of restoration of the news department. I think that penny-wise, pound-foolish cut years ago, we eliminated the local news department and local newscast, and our listenership has declined steadily ever since. And carrying the KPFA news under the guise of being the Pacific Evening News on the grid, it says contributions from the KPFK news department, which is now non-existent. So I think that if we're talking about expenses, I think that's a wise expense would be to reestablish some piece of the news department on the basis of which we can then reach out to get volunteer unpaid beat reporters who could rebuild the local newscast. And I think that would attract listeners because the kinds of news that we cover would then help the public affairs shows be more pertinent to the local audience. So that's my two cents on that question. I see a couple of hands up, and then we're going to have to wrap up this section and move on to the governance committee motions. Bella, and then Mansoor, and that's it. Try to be brief. Bella, you have to unmute yourself quickly.
Okay, I'm here. Yes, I sent out, I have been recording everything into QuickBooks, as WBAI has been doing for quite a while. And this is why they're able to get their reports on time, because they're doing it through QuickBooks. We used Great Plains here locally at KPFK, but is not being operated and has not been operated adequately to get the proper monthly reporting in a timely manner. And we don't get all the reports that we require. But I sent out from QuickBooks year to date through April of 2021, a total cost of travel expenses. And the total was, of course, this is going from a little bit of a trickle in from 2015, but the total was $44,696.37 from 2020, from 2018 to date was $25,168.97. We are not a commercial station. We cannot afford this. So there has been a great deal of disregard to budgetary needs in adherence to work within a budget, within the strings of a budget. And so because we have had no budget, the management was out of control spending without understanding that you cannot go above what you are getting. And so
okay, thank you, Bella.
This is why to date we are at such deficit. Thank you.
Okay, Mansoor, last comment. I do see a couple of public hands, but we don't have a public comment period this time. So
okay. IR, thank you very much, Michael. You're bringing up very good issues regarding news department, and it was your own people who took a motion up to the PNB and demanded some people be fired, and they pointed the finger at the news department to go first. So to set the history record straight. And then I'll say the last thing. Again, I want to appeal to every one of you. Change your mindset. $25,000 is nothing compared to $12 million budget that Pacifica has. So change your mindset. Think about bringing money rather than cutting. Thank you.
Okay, thanks. We're moving on to the governance committee, and there are two motions from governance. They're in the agenda. The first one is a motion on LSB candidate forums on air. And part of that is about the articles of incorporation, which is only if it gets onto the ballot. I don't have the language in front of me. Janine, could you read the actual motion?
Okay. So one is move that the KPFK LSB urge the GM to carry on series of on-air candidate forums during the active campaign period of the election of LSB delegates, including at least one in Spanish or bilingually during the Spanish language broadcasting block so that listeners can be well informed, and also forums on the amendment to the Articles of Incorporation if it is being put to a membership vote. Resolve further that the KPFK LSB urges the Pacifica National Board to mandate such on-air forums at all five stations for listener delegate candidates, and for the amendment to the Articles of Incorporation if it is being put to a membership vote.
Okay, is there any discussion or opposition to that motion?
I have, this is Janine, I have an amendment of sorts.
Okay, go ahead. And then I see your hand up from Bella.
Yeah, you know, the definition of forums, would this be, you know, just for discussion purposes, would this be with call-ins and questions
yes,
from the listeners?
Yes, historically we did have such forums. There were multiple candidates, usually five or six at a time were on the air. There were a whole series of such forums to cover the entire candidate pool, and each of the candidates made a statement and then took calls from listeners. That's what we're talking about.
I have one more issue, is that where can it be posted audibly, you know, either on KPFK, or where can people access it? Can it be made accessible on the KPFK website? So I'm just wondering if we can amend.
Yeah, well, I mean, when they were held, you know, they were aired on the radio and then they were on the archives. I assume that would be the same thing.
I'm just wondering if we want to specify that in this motion.
Sure. You know, couldn't hurt. You want to add that language somehow archived on the website? Belle, you had a hand up?
Yes. Can you hear me?
Yes.
Okay. Yes. I support that amendment to make sure that it goes on the archives, because it's not guaranteed. And it goes under the proper title, not under a program that may have been at that time. But I wanted to also motivate to let everybody know that for the last two election cycles, we have had no on-air candidate forms, which has disenfranchised further our listenership, membership, and this is only detrimental to the entire process and for the numbers of membership. And it also affects us all around, right? So it is critical that we return to holding our on-air candidate forum with the listeners' participation and moderated by the local election supervisor. Thank you.
Thank you. So is there any objection to the motion as amended to include the archiving of the... Okay, hearing none. Considered adopted. The second motion from the LSB is regarding the LSB... first report to the listener, the LSB report to the listener. I did get some kind of assurance from Mo just where he left the call that he was going to try to get that scheduled within a day or two. So can you read that motion, Janine?
Hi, sorry, I was just trying to eliminate a little noise in the background. Move that the LSB designate one officer, one director, one staff member, and one listener member with gender balance and reflecting the diversity and makeup of the LSB to be put on the first LSB on-air report to the listener, and thereafter monthly, that a representative sample of 3 to 4 members of the LSB participate in the monthly report in rotation, with no member participating a second time until all members have appeared once, and with participation on all SB reports to the listeners reflecting the diversity of opinion on the LSB regarding issues and affairs at Pacifica.
Muted myself again. Is there a discussion of this motion? I'm sorry, there was a dog shouting and a siren going by. I muted myself. Any discussion of this motion? I think we might have an LSB report for the listener, unfortunately, without much notice, as soon as tomorrow or the next day.
Point of procedure?
Go ahead.
It's 1:30, so that's 3 hours that we set up for this meeting.
Well, we never set a time certain, so we're just going to continue with.
Can you ask for objections, Michael?
Yes, I did. I did ask for objections. I didn't hear any. It was just the point of procedure about the time.
So it's not.
Okay, hearing none, we'll carry that out. Most did say he was going to try to get the LSB report to the listener on the next day or two prior to the start of the fund drive.
Michael, this is Paulina.
Go ahead, Paulina.
About the motion that has just been passed, I'm reminded of what Mo told us, that he's trying to get three staff members at the station to somehow find a spot for the LSB report to listeners. And I don't think that's appropriate to wait for, you know, people who are not the program director to somehow find a spot for this. There should just be a spot. I think it's incumbent on the IGM to make such a spot on a regular monthly basis. Thank you.
Thank you. I agree. He did say in the chat just before he left that he was going to get it on the air, in the next day or two. So hopefully in the future we'll have much more notice and there will be cards played in advance. Ali, go ahead.
Yeah, just to be clear, he's not asking us to find a spot. He's only consulted with us to see which shows might be a rebroadcast or not a new programming slot that would be available or potential slots for it. We've given him three slots to choose from. So it's up to him to pick which one. It's not up to us to decide this. We're just assisting him. It's not our decision.
Yeah, great. Thank you. So as I said,
we have a fund drive starting on Tuesday. So that's what we're focusing on, but we've supplied him with potential slots and he's welcome to take any of them. And yeah, we've supplied slots that are based on shows that are re-airing of shows that have already aired maybe that day or that week.
That makes a lot of sense. Thank you for the explanation, Ali.
Thank you. I also did offer to him that if it's during the fund drive, we'd be happy to pitch as the local station board during that. Just we have to have a way to take calls from listeners as well. Okay, the agenda is moving to the Program Oversight Committee. There's a motion on the metrics.
This is Beth.
Go ahead, Beth.
Yes, we met on the 12th, the Monday, the 12th, about a week ago. We had five motions, all of which passed without opposition. The first one moved the meeting from the second Monday of each month to the third Monday of each month. Please take note, those who are interested in attending, that will usually, almost always, put it one day after the LSB meeting, which will give us a chance to announce it in a timely manner, so that hopefully we'll have more attendance. The other three substantial motions, one had to do with, the KPFK Programming Oversight Committee urges KPFK management to prioritize resumption of the Radio Research Consortium listener metrics or other appropriate listener metrics services at the earliest possible date. I don't have the final wording in front of me at the moment. It also requests from the GM to receive the most recent 3 months of past listener metrics. The listener metrics that we had been getting were cut last winter as a cost-saving measure, but we're urging that we not fly blind, that should be considered basic. And the next motion, these other two motions will have to
Let's take one at a time.
The KPFK Programming Oversight Committee requests a report from the interim general manager.
I'm sorry, Beth, I said let's take one at a time. We want to get the body.
Mr. Chair?
No, the body has to say what it thinks about the first motion. Go ahead, Bella.
I have not received these motions with the agenda.
Bella, please check your email. I realized that the first draft of the agenda that went out, please mute yourself if you're not speaking, because Barbara Marbach. And Beth, you're creating static. The first draft of the agenda that went out did not have the addendum, which included the content of all the motions. I sent it out as a document to everybody, and then later Janine sent it around as a second PDF with all the motions. They're in there.
You are unmuted.
Just checking. I don't know if I was heard or not. The first draft of the agenda, unfortunately, did not include the addendum, which had all the motions. I sent it out as a document, and then Janine sent it out as a second PDF with all the motions attached and the rest of the information. Other objections to the Program Oversight Committee motion on metrics? Okay, hearing none.
Bella to the stack.
Bella, go ahead, Bella.
Yes, there was an amendment that we should request the very last quarter.
Yes, it's in. There's language in what went out, and if you look at it, it says asking for the sharing of the last available data that they have.
Okay, but it was very specific, that motion. This is what the argument was over at the governance committee. So that language
okay.
is still not amended.
Did the best I could with what I had. The language that was sent out says, in addition to requesting that they start it up, it asks that they share the last available data they have, statistics they have. That's what's on the floor at the moment. Are there any objections to that? Hearing none. Beth, the second motion was about the reports of the listeners. And the,
I just want to point out that I did provide that information this morning.
Okay, thank you.
So
the report to the listeners' motion. The GM did do, he's done one, he's had said, IGM said he was doing another in August, and he's had committed on this call basically to getting the LSB one on. Do we have to discuss the motion, or is that sufficient? That was to Beth.
I don't know, I keep getting muted, so I give up.
You're not muted. I hear you.
I've been muted half a dozen times as we discuss programming oversight, which I'm supposed to be presenting. So I don't object.
Michael, I
already didn't object.
Michael, may I say something?
Go ahead.
Thank you. Beth, as co-host, I've been muting everybody who is not speaking or requesting the stat because there's a lot of static. So I, without looking at your name, I absolutely just mute a mic that I see turned on. And I apologize. I have to do that to avoid noise, you know. So just unmute yourself before you speak and you should be fine. And apologies for the inconvenience.
I want to point out that when I'm not speaking, I mute myself on this end by way of the device. When I'm double muted, I don't have any way to see that. I don't have any way to see that you've muted me. And trying to get unmuted from being double muted doesn't always work. So.
Okay. Thank you for that clarification.
Okay. So the question nonetheless is, do we need to discuss the second motion, which asks for a report from the GM regarding the implementation of the LSB and PNB motions on reports to the listeners, because he did do one. He said he's going to do another one as GM in August, and he had committed on this call to getting the LSB report to the listener on. Do we need to discuss that further?
I would like to point out that the motion was that he report on implementing the resolution we've already passed, which required a report to the LSB each month on the production of a report to the listener for
okay.
that month.
All right. So thank you. Is there any objection to that motion then?
I object.
Okay. Is there a second objection?
Mansoor.
Okay, then we'll have to vote on it. Can you call the roll, Janine?
This is Beth. I would like to point out that motion, the original resolution, passed last January without opposition. So they're objecting to something that the entire board has already okayed.
Point of information.
Bella to the stack. Bella to the stack.
All right. Yeah. Okay. Thank you, Bella. There's a question from Ali Alexa. Go ahead. What's your question?
So if what Beth is saying is correct, then that motion is still in effect and not necessary at this time.
May I respond? May I respond?
Hey, Beth.
Indeed, it is still in effect, and it's never been honored, not once. And so I'm asking for a report on implementation of that previous resolution from the GM. Because to my knowledge, to this point, it hasn't been implemented. If he can show me otherwise, I'd love to see it. But we need some process for accountability here. We don't pass things just to be ignored. Thank you.
Okay, thank you. So, okay, hang on a second, Bella. I know you're on the stack. I want to see if it's necessary to vote. Are there still two objections? Mansoor and Ali objected. Are you still objecting? Please speak. You have to unmute yourself.
I don't know the motion 6 months ago, so I stay my objection.
All right, go ahead, Bella.
I want us to be clear. The PMB voted on March 24th, I believe it was, that the communications, the motion, the communications with the listeners, in that motion is across the network. When that motion passed, it made rendered everything moot. So, but what Beth is trying to get to is comprehensive enough because we want accountability. And there's absolutely nothing wrong with that, is there? If you're objecting to accountability,
okay,
then that is a problem.
But the motion from the PNB
is a conversation with the listeners, a very in-depth.
Okay, thank you, Bella. Bella, we're going to move to a vote. There were two objections.
This is Beth, one last time.
The original
motion was simply that the GM comply with his job description. The language was listed directly out of his job description. We simply asked that he do what he was contracted to do.
Okay, thank you.
He didn't add anything to that.
All right, Janine, can you reread the motion and then call the roll on it?
So motion that the LSB request a report from the interim general manager regarding implementation of the previous LSB resolution and PNB mandate on regular monthly on-air reports to the listener with call-ins. So I'll go on with the vote.
Yeah.
Alan B. I'm not sure if Alan's still on, if somebody could check.
Yes, on and I vote yes.
Thank you, Alan.
Thank you, Alan. Fred Blair.
Just go on.
Fred Blair. Okay, Sandy Childs.
Abstain.
Okay. Bella DeSoto?
Yes.
Thank you. Jan Goodman?
Fred here. Can you hear me?
Yes.
I vote yes.
Okay, thank you. Sandy Childs is an abstain. Bella DeSoto is a yes. Jan Goodman?
You are muted.
Okay, Eric C. Jacobson?
Yes.
Thank you. Avelia Jones?
No.
Thank you. Ali Alexa?
No. No.
Thank you. Barbara Marba?
Yes, no.
Barbara votes no.
Thank you. James Osborne? He may have left the call.
Mute yourself, Jim.
Needed to leave early. Robert Payne?
No.
Thank you. Lydia Ponce?
Yes.
Thank you. Lawrence Reyes?
He's on the proc motion, Chair? I mean, Secretary?
Yes.
Yes, yes.
Hold on, Joe. I got to vote on something. This is Zoom.
Thank you. Rocio Rivas?
Yes.
Thank you. Paul Roberson?
I vote yes.
Thank you. Janine Roan is a
yes. You are unmuted.
Mansoor Sabah?
No.
Thank you. Oscar Ulloa?
Yes.
Thank you. Sorry, I just need a moment. Paulina Vasilias?
Yes.
Thank you. Beth Van Guten?
Yes.
Thank you. Harvey Wasserman?
Abstain.
Okay. And now I'm going back to check for Jan Goodman. Still not on the call. James Osborne?
I'm sorry. I was muted, as Beth says, unknowingly muted. I really do think that you should unmute everybody when you're doing votes because you're just missing people. I'm voting no.
Okay. Just so you know, there's no way to unmute everyone unless I go each person. So James Osborne.
Well, maybe you can go unmute. I mean, I don't know how, but I'm just saying that
but
you're
it's
missing
24
people.
Okay.
Okay. Or maybe just tell everybody to unmute.
Jan, stop, please.
So Mansoor
just let the vote finish.
I don't think Mansoor Sabah is on.
He voted no.
Okay, thank you. So I have 12 yeses, 6 noes, 2 abstain for a total of 20 votes.
Chair votes yes.
Okay. Thank you, Michael.
Okay, moving on, we have the Outreach Committee.
To finish with the Programming Oversight Committee.
Chair?
Hello, can you hear me?
Hang on a second. Who is that?
There's one more motion with the Program Oversight.
I thought we had deferred that to the next
Michael,
meeting.
Michael, it's Sandy. Can you hear me?
Yes, I hear you, Sandy.
Okay,
hang
I got
on a
disconnected.
Second.
My vote should be, what is it? No, I think. Yeah.
You abstained.
I abstained, so it's no now. I change it to no.
Okay, we'll change. Normally, you don't change votes after they've been reported, but we'll change it. Beth, there's a lot. Beth, excuse me.
That is not proper.
Stop shouting, Bella. People got knocked off the call. She got back on the call. It doesn't affect the outcome of the vote. Please, if you're not speaking, Bella, be quiet. Beth, there's noise coming over your line again. I don't know if you're aware of it, but it's creating static. Same thing for Jim Osborne.
I don't know how to speak without opening my line. I wanted to be sure that third motion is agendized for next month, that it doesn't just disappear into the ethers.
It's not disappearing, but we agreed to shift it off this agenda.
I agree.
Thank you.
We worked hard to get it this far. Thank you.
Absolutely. Thank you. Outreach Committee, 2 minutes. Bella, go ahead and unmute yourself.
Yes, I am here. Motown has attended our last outreach meeting. Unfortunately, when he joined our Zoom meeting, there were only 3 individuals in that meeting. Then we got 4, then we got 5, then 6. Whether the date was not a good day for most people, we did cover a lot of ground. He is working, by the way, on getting our
event calendar, community event calendar or event community calendar back online so that we can bring the community back into KPFK. And that's very, very important. The other thing is that at our next meeting, which is coming up on the 25th, the issue will be trying to work out our town hall, trying to start planning our next town hall. And it's going to be somewhere in the neighborhood of either at the end of August or beginning of September, somewhere around there. Thank you.
Thank you. All right, so that actually completes our business because we moved the articles of incorporation. We have several people who want to make public comments, and although we've actually had the three periods of public comment, we'll take some additional public comment before we adjourn. So I have call-in user number three, Ruth, and then Kim. Yeah, unmute yourself, call-in user three. Colin, you have to unmute yourself. Go ahead. Speak. Colin, you have three. I don't know. Colin, you have three. You have your hand up and you unmuted yourself, but we can't hear you. All right, I'm going to move on. Andrew, I'm sorry, Ruth.
Yes, hi. Thank you. First of all, I wanted to say that I was kind of shocked to hear that, you know, payroll, quote unquote, went, and believe me, I'm bad at finances, but that payroll, quote unquote, went down by 13% when we're supposed to have, as I understand it, cut somewhere 30%. That was a mandate by National. And the business manager has shown up and talked, you know, some mumbo jumbo about how we've complied with that and how, you know, this person has been cut or that's been cut or whatever. Well, obviously it hasn't been if the payroll has only gone down by 13%, as I understand it. So that's one thing. The second thing is I'm a broken record, but I don't mind being a broken record. I did about a 40-minute survey that was sent to everybody in January, and you know, like the briefcase with Ehrlichman, I guess it was Deep Six. I have no idea where those results are, but we're all bellyaching about losing membership, and yet we have a treasure trove that has either escaped with Aniel to KCRW or who knows. That stuff has to be found and looked into. Thank you.
Kim, Andrew, and then Andrew. Let me respond, actually, to Ruth. Month over month, compared to before the cuts began, the payroll is now about 27% lower than it was. It's just that in the period that it took to lower it, there were also severances and other things that impacted. But at this point, it is substantially lower.
Okay, thanks, Michael.
Yeah. Kim and Andrew.
Yeah,
and then we're going to adjourn.
Yeah, somebody's got a police siren going on. Thank you, Michael. I will add to that, but I'm not sure about the percentages, but April and especially June shows a $50,000 cut or decrease in payroll from the first 6 months. So you can't compare the first 6 months to the second months because the cuts have now are in effect. And so that's your operating really expense number going forward. And I know the business manager said at the last finance committee meeting that he's seeing a $50,000 deficit every month. I don't see it. The P&L is showing that basically, I calculated with the PPP money we received this year, and it's basically a $70,000 deficit, including showing that all of central services are paid. So I'm really not understand what you're shaking your head, Michael.
what?
The PNL accrues that was the question I asked. The PNL accrues the central services. They only paid one.
No, I understand that it accrues it. But if you still pretend that it's actually getting paid, if it's not getting paid, or if they don't have the money, I mean, look, whether it's paid or not, if they're negative $400,000, then you go, oh, okay, they're not paying central services. But it shows that it can be paid. The expenses, you know, are still coming out about equal to the revenue year to date. So there's a couple hundred thousand dollars that I just can't figure out where with. I just want to say that I'm equally as alarmed about the business manager saying the payroll was paid on the 14th is when the finance committee met and when the payroll goes to the payroll service. This motion about getting the ratings is kind of nutty because this is the kind of stuff that the LSB does that drives me crazy. Just wave a magic wand. We want this. We want to pay that. On one hand, you know, you want this. And on the other hand, you're talking about staff cuts. We cut out the ratings last year because the budget couldn't handle it. So this is one of those things that should go on the quote-unquote budget priorities for your talks on the budget to see if there's room for it. That's the way that works. So that's it. Thank you.
Correct. Thank you. Andrew, then Colin, user number three, and then we're going to adjourn the meeting. We've completed our business.
Yes, this is Andrew Weiss. For the LSB report to the listener, please announce it by email on the air as many times as possible, especially since it's on such short notice, in any other ways that can be done. Secondly, I think regarding fundraising and funding for the station, as a listener, I think the listeners have a lot of great ideas and would like to help out in fundraising and funding. So please, I think it would be good to have a forum, a town hall or something, and discuss this specifically and especially listen to the listeners. And finally, I'd like to say, regarding the back and forth, whether Bella DeSoto made a personal attack against the Mr. Fred Blair, I did not hear myself what she said as a personal attack. It was nothing personal as far as I heard. It sounded like she was saying he is not doing his job, which is something about his job, not his personality. And I would have liked to heard back and forth discussion about what Bella thinks he's not doing with his job properly and what could be done and respond to that. Thank you.
Okay, thanks. Colin, user three, make your comment. Otherwise, the meeting will stand adjourned. Hearing nothing, I will look into setting up a KPFK LSB communications list, and we'll publicize how members can join that list to get copies of the documentation that's going out to the LSB if it's not confidential.